listen, laugh, and learn. Welcome to the Don Miller Show on Florida Man Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome. You're listening to a live edition of the Don Miller Show where we listen, laugh, and learn right here on the Florida Man Radio Network. We have a lot to talk about today. People are going crazy in the world. Give us a call. This conversation is with all of you guys. Y'all gave me the broke chair.
I thought that was the good chair.
You told me this was the good chair.
I thought that was a good chair. I got you.
They trying to hurt me over here. Holly Holloman over there in the ATL. What's up with you, bro?
They got you set. They set me up.
They socked me up.
You see what happened was.
Don't
shut up. Yeah. Listen, give us a call, family. 321-339-1055 is the number to dial. If you have not done it already, you want to go ahead over to your app store, download the Florida Man Radio app so you can join this lively auto conversation and take us wherever you are in the country. Hit that button that says open mic and you can give us a 30-second comment as we engage in the conversation.
30 seconds.
Stay on topic too, y'all.
Yeah. What are they going to do, Holly? What
we'll start giving y'all some house rules.
And she need 30 seconds because it.
He sounded like that for real.
It'll cut you off. Yeah, it was pretty good. That came to that.
Yeah.
Don Miller.
How y'all doing?
Okay, Don.
Good morning.
He's waiting on his theme music.
Oh, no. I'm waiting on a nap in this bitch. Good morning. Hey, y'all. Hey, y'all. Y'all ready? Y'all ready to do the Don Miller Show?
Yeah.
Hey, y'all. Watch this. I want to immediately address. Cancel that damn music. Step right now. Stop the music. I want to address the lady who asked me yesterday after I left the damn radio station, she felt like she needed me to take a position and ask the question, was I anti-Semitic? Listen, lady. Tell you what I am. I'm anti-curveball, okay? And you ain't gonna get me, right? I'm not going to fall. I'm anti-curveball, okay? Mm. All these ignorant-ass students standing out here with these signs, put all their asses out of school, right? Put them out. It's getting to be too much. And let me just say this. Might I say this on the radio this morning? How is this okay? How is anybody feeling threatened in America? Just to go to a class. Mm. How is this okay? Mm. And I'm going to tell you when I get to this microphone and fools say, Don, you talk about race all the time. Well, you can kiss my monkey ass because I'm going to spend the next 5 minutes talking about what's fair and what's not. This is not okay. If you chant anything about death to America, there should be something done to you. This is not the views of this station, but this is the views of Don Miller. Okay? If you are okay going public, standing deaf to America, we need to lock your ass up. Or your show shouldn't be able to work nowhere, right?
Facts.
If you stand and threaten somebody because of their religious belief, your ass need to be handled as well.
Immediately.
Because I just got to put the race card in this just for a moment. To all the ignorant-ass students who are just doing as they're told, who probably learned this protesting in a class, because there are classes on protesting taught at many institutions, especially left-leaning, liberal-ass, ridiculous-ass locations in America. Thanks. If you are out there hollering BS, right, and DS, you need to be handled. Listen to me. Let's try something. Let's a whole bunch of Negroes go on the campus and start burning flags and hollering hate towards somebody else. And watch how many police show up. Not to keep the crowd calm, but to lock the crowd up. Mm. Listen to me, guys. I am not anti-Semitic. I am anti-curveball. But I'm also anti not respecting the country that you brought your ass or your damn parents brought their ass to. and that you on the university, Columbia University. Anybody want to know how much it costs the tuition to go to Columbia University? If you got that much damn money to pay to go to Columbia University, first of all, you're doing better than 99.9.99% of Americans. If you got that much money to pay the tuition and the room and board and the fees that come with...
$87,000.
A year.
Wow.
Come on. Listen, this is a... Look, wow. Man.
That's before 80.
Lock their asses up. Or definitely put them off the campus and tell them they can't come back. Let me go to the University of Central Florida campus and stand on that campus and holler anything that may not be approved by the campus messaging. They gonna come and get my ass.
Quick, fast, and a hurry.
Stop it, man. This ain't cool, man. You got people gotta, oh, just stay home and study. I don't want to study from home. I want to go to this place that I'm paying 87 G's
right,
and be
that's
able to sit in
money.
The library.
And that's before 80.
I want to go to the place where I'm paying $87,000 and sit my ass in the library and sip a latte while studying. And you tell me I gotta go home? Because these ass cracks are marching
48 hours.
Come on, y'all. How we do that in America, man? So y'all telling me it ain't two Americas. You're telling me that. You've been telling me that since the summer of 65. It ain't two Americas. You've been telling me that when Al Gore's bitch ass daddy and Strom Thurmond and Robert Byrd filibustered the civil rights bill. You've been telling me, no, Don Miller, they're not two Americas. How dare you go to a microphone and suggest that they're two Americas? Well, I'm here to tell you this morning, 15 minutes out the
it's
hour, that's two Americas.
Facts.
And these kids are showing the world that they're two Americas. Nobody should be able to chant anything negative of this country when your monkey ass wasn't born on this land.
Facts.
Or your parents wasn't born on this land and you sought solace on this land? Huh? If you love Palestine that much, catch a flight. Catch a flight. I get you. You're standing up for what you believe in. I get you. That's fine. We do that here in America.
Amen.
We stand strong for what we believe in. We got freedom of speech in this great country. Yep. But if you think it's okay to threaten somebody, if you love it that much, catch a flight. Good morning, everybody. Thank you so much. I'm telling you what I know, not what I heard this morning. Catch a flight. Oh. Holly Holloman, catch a flight, right?
Oh.
Come on, man. Catch a damn flight, man. Come on, let's do the radio.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
321-339-1055.
I'm excited this morning.
No, man, I'm tired of it.
Yeah, get it off his chest.
I'm tired of it.
Yeah.
I'm tired. It's wrong.
Yeah.
I know a young lady from Central Florida, who was at Columbia, who called her daddy and said, "Daddy, I want to come home." She ain't got nothing to do with this. I know a young man from Central Florida, Lake Mary, who called his daddy and said, "Daddy, I want to come home." You pay $87,000 a year. Somebody's dropping the ball.
Yeah.
Come on, man. No, hell to the no.
And it's not just Columbia. They got it at Yale.
Yeah. Wherever you paying that much money, you should be able to educate or become educated in peace.
Facts.
Yes
absolutely.
Or no?
Absolutely.
Come on, man. Go on with that nonsense.
It's $1,000. That come with a car.
I just don't get it, guys. Jeez. I don't get it, man.
$87,000 for one year?
It's just really.
1 year.
It's interesting that the school, just as an institution, think it's more important for them to be, the protesters to be disruptive to the educational environment. It's more important for them to do that than for the students to be educated. The ones that want, that actually came there to be educated. It's more important, right? The narrative is more important than being educated. The narrative is more important than the donors supporting your institution. So you're willing for students to leave because they can't go to class without being in fear of their life, you know, and you're willing to lose donors. So what's the purpose of you even existing as an educational institution? It makes no sense.
Let me just say this.
Most of their donors, most of their billion-dollar donors are million-dollar donors or whatever, they're pulling out. They're pulling their funds, Don.
Left and right.
The narrative is
that is that important?
Yes. The wow. narrative.
But you want to put it all on the line for the narrative.
So the, what I'm hearing from their narrative, and I don't, y'all can tell me if I'm wrong or right, is that they really just want the United States separated from Israel, to leave Israel by itself.
Let me just say, that's not going to happen. So the point is this, right? Since that's not going to happen.
But that's their goal.
Nobody is supporting death to innocent people.
Facts.
Let's just stay right there. Nobody is supporting death to innocent people. But we cannot allow the type of behavior on American soil that we're seeing on campuses where young people have gone to become better young people.
Yeah, this would be a safe ground.
It should be a safe ground. We are not seeing that. Mm-hmm. We are not seeing that at institutions that are funded, significant funding, from those people who are engaged in the conversation at a greater rate than others.
Mm.
And let me just say this to the young protesters. Please stop making the comparison of your protest, your fight, your plight to that of the civil rights movement.
Facts.
Please stop singing "We Shall Overcome." You were paying $87,000 to be on a campus. No. Seriously,
wow,
you follow me?
Man.
Please stop comparing or making those comparisons. Yeah. And I need one black person that can stand up and say, y'all need to chill. Please stop saying this. I know how. I saw a young girl the other day say, I understand how the black people. No, bitch, you don't. You pay $87,000 to go to school. You don't understand how my grandmama felt in Beulah, Mississippi. You don't understand how they felt as they marched down the street in Montgomery with water hoses and a sheriff named Bull Connor putting dogs on them. No, bitch, you don't understand.
Facts.
And for you to move toward that conversation, shame on you and those assholes who told you it was okay. Please remove the civil rights movement and the struggle of the Negro in a country that he built. Please remove that from your lips.
Immediately.
Stop. It ain't cool. And for those people who told you to run to the microphone and make that comparison, they are assholes. You do not understand how the civil rights movement oppressed black people. You pay $87,000 to get an education. Sorry about that. Go ahead.
What else do you say to that?
It's the truth.
I mean,
I'm serious, man. I keep seeing these people stabbing. Well, I know how the black people felt. It's just so. No, you don't.
I think.
No, you don't. As you leave campus in your Porsche 911 to go get lattes. Ooh. No, you don't. No, you don't. And you stop it. You don't understand how the black people felt as you sit in cafes around the town sipping lattes. No, you don't.
Let me get these numbers right. Okay, how many terms in a year, in a school year, academic year? It's four.
It depends,
four.
Right, yeah.
Is it four terms in an academic year in college?
It should be like, two semesters, four quarters.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
So actually, it's 32,670 per term.
Wow.
So if you're doing four terms in an academic year, that's $130,000.
I don't care how much it costs.
You struggling? You really?
I just went to the grocery store.
Are you struggling, Holly?
You got to work 40 years to pay that back.
Oh, Lord.
That's crazy.
I just went to the grocery store, okay? I'm telling you right now.
Oh, God.
Y'all need to go
grocery
here.
Stores,
they need to cut it out. And if you want to protest, fine. I ain't telling you not to protest. But don't put people in fear of their life.
Facts.
That's all. Chill out, for real. And these leadership.
But is it their decision to decide not to put people in fear of their life, or is that the institution? Shouldn't the institution be responsible for saying, hey, you can protest, but these are the times you can protest, and this is the area that you can protest? Is it not their responsibility?
they should be saying it should be off campus.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So,
but who wants to pay that much money, even if it's $25,000 a year, and be remote? You want to be among the people. That's why these kids go to college.
Yeah.
That's why they went to college. They could have did schoolwork at home. They went to college to sit in the quad and drink lattes.
For the social engagement, for the interaction.
Ain't no damn hybrid classes. I want a refund. Give me my money back, and I'll put my kid in another school.
Don, I'm down with your struggle, man.
That's what happened, Stedman. That's exactly how they sound, man. Listen,
Stedman, I know. Feel you, brother.
You said something earlier. You were talking about if you're for this protest, you can't be for Christ as well.
Yeah, I don't, you know, again, I believe that with Don, that it's a huge curveball conversation.
Yeah, I'm caught up in it.
Quite frankly, I don't even know how we got there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, how do we go from a terrorist act to now defending the group that created the terrorists? That's a little bit confusing to me. Mm-hmm. I don't even know how we got to that side of the conversation.
I don't even mean to laugh, but that's like
Holly getting bullied, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden the bully becomes the victim.
Yeah.
So now you want to convince me that the bully is the victim?
Yeah,
let's
check out some open mics, please. Thank you.
Wow.
You know, for all those people out there that are complaining and bitching that Don Miller talks too much about race, listen, that's what this show is about. We're lucky we have some people that can talk about race in an honest manner from a perspective that we're not used to hearing, as opposed to the mainstream media that's talking about race for all the wrong reasons and just using it to turn around and stick it right up your you-know-what. So thanks, Don.
Don, that was a great monologue. Love it. Way to start the show. Be-doo, be-doo.
We got Cocoa Butter Miller, Juicy Holloman, Macchiato, Dusty Macchiato, Stedman, King of the Island of Caucus. This is the beautiful D'Amica Page. Hey, y'all, it's D-Y'all. Make his future husband. I think these kids need an attitude check for some gratitude. I mean, seriously, and it's not just the kids that are complaining and protesting these days. Whatever happened to some gratitude about living in the greatest country in the world?
Absolutely.
Be to be to. G off out.
Good morning. Thank you again. Feel free to pop in. 321-339-1055, the number to dial. I just kind of wanted to get out of the gate and just tell you where I'm standing. And for the people who want to ask me what position am I taking, I ain't falling for the curveball. I am not falling. And you should not fall for the curveball as well. Let me just say something. There are so many distractions going on right now. And I have spoken for years about weapons of mass distraction.
Yep.
The things that we really should be focused on, like the $60 billion that just got passed the other day, money going back to the Ukraine, more money for the Ukraine, right, and other places. I think we just got to pay attention. But when you send your child to school, and these pro-Palestinian encampments have been established at Michigan, MIT, and California State, at Polytechnic, at formerly Humble State, when you look at these pro-Palestinian encampments and say, you ask yourself the question, right? Who's really doing this, right?
Right. Yeah.
Because this is not student-driven. Because
you have to remember, I was telling Holly, I was telling LP during the break that they're actually classes that teach protests, and there are organizations that fund protesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you can technically go to a school and learn how to protest and learn how to connect with the organizations that will pay you to protest.
Well, you're going to make a whole career out of protesting.
So technically you can establish a career out of protesting and advocating for whatever that organization's position is. So that's a real thing. And I was surprised, quite frankly, Holly, thank you. That wow is definitely warranted. I was quite surprised. I was like, okay. So the U.S. is consistently, decade after decade, falling in terms of reading, science, mathematics. So we keep going down the pole in terms of the global perspective, right?
Yeah.
We dropping down that list. But we're teaching you how to protest. you can't do science and math, but we teach you how to protest. So yeah, that's heavy.
But think about this, right? There is a company in Beverly Hills called Crowds on Demand.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's one of the organizations.
And you can buy protesters and go out and, you know, they'll protest for you. You buy them.
Rebel.
Mm-hmm.
And I am convinced when I look at oftentimes the scale of many of these protests, the scale, just the fact, the organizational structure,
facts,
that there's no way a bunch of students sitting around in a dorm room, okay, or on the quad came up with this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we have to be cognizant of such that oftentimes there's a backstory and a back level of engagement and back money being funded into this conversation. So I think what's really important is we stand against what's ridiculous. That's what we're going to do here on this show every day. We're going to stand against what's ridiculous.
Can I go a step further?
Yeah, please.
So not only are we seeing that you can go to college and take classes on protesting, then you can link up with an organization that will fund protesting. And then those students, those people who kind of pretty much make a career, So like we'll say in their 20s or what have you doing this, then the next step is they run for office. Mm. So they haven't built a career, an actual career of, you know, engaging in business of some sort. They've actually only done protesting, and now they run for elected officials, and they're supported by those same funding mechanisms that teach people how to protest and advocate for their narrative. Mm. It's very interesting.
I wish I could have got my degree in protesting. What you got a degree in, man? Protesting, man.
So that
let's go march.
So they're equal to pretty much the idea of activist politicians.
Pretty much, because what career did your guy Frost, Congressman Frost?
Oh, he's a protester.
That's all he's done, and he became elected official. For an example, Exhibit A.
Yeah, Maxwell Frost, who was an Uber driver turned congressman, 25 years old, and absolutely.
That is awesome.
Don giving me the side eye.
Why'd you bring up Maxwell? Come on.
Yes, because he's about legislation that's going to hurt people. And I think, he looks nice. He's handsome. He's articulate. Yeah. But y'all, people aren't paying attention to the type of policies that he's advocating for. They're going to hurt people.
Okay.
Pay attention. Just because it look good and sound good doesn't mean it's good for the people.
Yeah.
He's on some straight ridiculousness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I can't.
Wow, straight ridiculousness.
You know, I agree with you, but again, I think.
Well, you know what it is, Holly? Mm. Because I paid attention to the policies that he's pushing as it relates to Medicare. Mm. And you know, I work in that field. You know what I deal with seniors. I deal with people every day that are on limited income. So I know how those policies that he's promoting is going to hurt that particular segment of our population.
And it's interesting you say that, because he would be one of these protesters.
Absolutely.
On one of these campuses.
Absolutely.
He actually would. And it's like somebody's given this gentleman a platform. The guy who gave him all his money got sent to prison finally the other day. And there are people out here trying to run against him. The deadline is the next couple of days. So it doesn't look like he's going to have any opposition. But he has no concept of what he's doing. Shout out to the people. There are a couple of people with him that are trying to kind of keep him as much as they can. But he's already been connected with the narrative and the people who control the narrative. And the other day on Earth Day, all of the things he could have came to the microphone and said, he came to the microphone and said that Donald Trump is a threat to the planet.
Wait,
he said Donald Trump
to the planet. Yes,
yeah, to planet Earth. This is what he said. He said Donald Trump doesn't believe in the threat of climate change, which makes him a threat to the planet for every future generation. He is a true threat to the planet.
Wow.
Yeah, they gave him a microphone. This is what he
hyperbole right, at his.
Again, but all they do,
even the young fella confused.
but again, go ahead, Holly.
I just don't understand how.
What are we doing? But again, now here's a 25-year-old congressman, mm-hmm. and there are people who like him. There are people who like him, and I think Maxwell's a nice guy.
I never said he wasn't a nice guy.
I know him. And mm-hmm. You know I know him.
Yes, I know you know him.
I know his team who understand the direction to make things better for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
But when you work for a congressional person, at the end of the day, that person's going to make the decision.
Absolutely.
He's a young guy who I believe is trying to find his way and make a name for himself simultaneously.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a challenge in that box.
Mm-hmm.
I think you make a name for yourself by finding your way. You follow me?
Yeah.
You follow me?
Absolutely.
You don't try to find your way and make a name for yourself simultaneously. Mm-hmm. That's not going to end good.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a challenge we face when we engage with these young people who have good intentions but are coming from flawed education.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The education that they're coming from is not an education that is going to change or make the situation better.
Mm-hmm.
So when you land
your foundation is messed up.
When you land on Capitol Hill and don't already have an attached mm-hmm. ideological position.
Yep, principles and values you're already anchored in.
Somebody's going to swoop
you're going to get manipulated.
And manipulate you.
By the narrative.
And this is exactly. not just recently.
Mm-hmm.
When you land on Capitol Hill, and you are not already grounded,
fresh meat,
somebody's going to swoop by and get you.
Mm-hmm.
And I could take this back to the summer of 71 with Joe Biden landing on Capitol Hill as a goofball from Delaware and Robert Byrd and Stennis and Strom Thurmond saw he was a goofball and placed in his hand the agenda that he has driven for the last 47 years. He was a goofball, had no foundation, had no structure, had no platform of understanding. And this is how you got on Capitol Hill.
Crash dummies.
We have to be careful.
Mm-hmm.
So when we send these children, let's be clear, this young man's right out of
children's school.
He's right out of children's
school. He said right out of children's school.
I hate to say this, right? No, for real, right?
You something else.
25 years old.
Kindergarten.
Representing a district in Congress. Didn't go to college. Drove an Uber. Doesn't have a degree. Drove an Uber. He was a protester. He was an activist. He laid in the middle of the East-West Expressway doing Black Lives Matter because somebody told him that was a good idea to do so. Then somebody saw that he might have the ability as a black guy to articulate a message better than the other black guy who actually graduated from somewhere and don't always buy into the entire conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
A black guy who loves people and wants to make a difference and change the conversation. And I'm not as left as you guys want me to be. I'm center.
Mm-hmm.
So they say, hey, pick the goofball Uber driver guy, he'll do what we tell him to do.
Because you can cultivate him.
Y'all can be mad at me if you're listening. I can lose friends over this. Y'all be all right. Because I'm comfortable in my skin now.
Mm.
I don't need people to tell me if I'm right or wrong. I've landed.
Mm.
I'm on the runway. I'm taxing to the gate. And I need you to understand what I mean by that. I'm taxing to the gate. I'm back on the ground, guys. You're listening to The Don Miller Show. We'll be right back.
Back to The Don Miller Show on Florida Man Radio.
We got the drugs, drinks, dream makers, about to blow the roof off. Home, make it shine, whoa, hey. Sister, make a good start. Let's get down, hey. In the music, on the toolbox. Just how we do when we party in the blue lights.
Yeah.
Welcome back to the Don Miller Show. See, I have to have my hat and my boots so we can line dance. Hey.
I can see you doing that.
Hey, give us a call. 321-339-1055 is the number to dial to join the lively art of conversation on the Don Miller Show, where we listen, laugh, and learn. Or you can head over to that open mic button on the Florida Man Radio app, and you can join the conversation that way as well.
As well. All right.
Oh, my goodness.
That's the best. There we go.
Do we have any more open mics? Okay. All right. Sounds good. Where are we going now?
Okay. I'm sure Don Miller must have stepped out.
No, I'm right here.
Okay.
I had to catch my breath. Let me just say this really seriously. Very important. I just am at a place where I'm just kind of tired of people. They snatch the narrative from us. And you can snatch it, but that don't mean it's yours. You know what I mean? I've been jacked before, right? It was still my stuff.
Facts.
You know what I mean? You took it, but it was still my stuff, right? And I think when we allow the jacker to take our stuff and then we comfortable with him taking it, no, our focus should always be get our stuff back.
Facts.
You know what I mean? If I see him,
if I see him,
what you going to do? Right, yeah.
On site, what they say, it's on site.
On site.
Minds right then.
Let's check out some open mics. Sir. Let's check out some open mics.
Hey, Don, you need to go get some monkey shoulder right now.
It's not that hard. You're seeing the result of in propaganda and indoctrination. See, it used to start through newspapers and little sources that way. Now we have it on mainstream media, all the social news, social networks, and now even worse, they're shoving it down our kids' throats in elementary, high school, and at the highest college levels. This is a play out of the old playbook. This is nothing new.
Is it safe to assume that you guys ain't gonna do nothing about Holly's terrible 3G 1996 connection?
Doing our best. All right, email the station.
Hey, good morning, y'all. Austin from Tampa. Great show. Hey, speaking of all these pro-Palestine protests, I think it's just another distraction, like you said, for a terrorist attack, because the FBI director Ray just came out and said, hey, we're at an extra level these past couple months and no one's paying attention to anything about terrorism. So it's coming. It is coming.
You're right, D'Amico, about the schools and the classes teaching protests. And guess who runs all of those left-wing radical Marxist socialist organizations? And I will bet you $1,000 if you trace the funding, it goes to people like George Soros, Clinton's, China, and our enemies. This is an indoctrination and propaganda scheme.
Poor Holly. What do you guys have him inside of a mayonnaise jar or something? Half the time he sounds like a robot. Half the time he sounds like he's in the restroom.
Good morning, guys. Great subject as always, man. I always wonder who's behind all this nonsense, and it always seems to lead back to George Soros. And then why is this Joker that way? And it takes me back to the Joker from Batman and what Alfred said. Some people just want to see the world burn. And this Joker seems to have an uncanny ability to find useful idiots to buy into whatever it is he's pushing, just like the Joker did in that Batman.
Malcolm X warned us about the media.
He did, and that's it.
Yeah, again, a lot going on today. Thank you so much, everyone, for joining us Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. Eastern Time, Florida Man Radio. The App Store has the Florida Man Radio app. And, wow, just check us out.
Wow.
Also, listen, coming up 2 p.m. Eastern Time right here on Florida Man Radio, the Shannon Burke Show. Shannon from 2 to 6. Shannon is followed by Jesse Kelly.
And, of course, in the mornings, Bubba the Love Sponge. All of us are right here on Florida Man Radio, JBC Broadcasting. Go ahead. Go ahead. Come on.
So he mentioned George. Well, a couple of things Number one, I don't think you, and I know, Don, you disagree with me, but I don't necessarily think the pro-Palestine protesting is a distraction. I think it's a part of the setup. So if you look at the hand that is being, the hands with an S that is being played by the Democratic Party, right? So you open up, they have this whole open border philosophy right now. Oh, we don't believe in borders. We're not putting up a wall. Come on in, everybody. Bring your whoever. So you have an open door, open border policy. Then at the same time, we're incentivizing them to come over here. We're going to give you a whole bunch of money if you come over here. And then if you look on the flip side, you see that they're allegedly, well, it's not allegedly, but they are at expanding the surveillance here in the U.S. because of allegedly the terrorist threat. So you want to increase the surveillance of American people, but you want to keep the borders open at the same time. So how can you call yourself dealing with the threat of terrorism while at the same time creating the threat of terrorism?
Well, you know, and that's interesting. The open mic stated how the FBI director just said, like, they created another level. Like, that's another.
Yeah, they're
we're just going to add a level of threat.
They're expanding surveillance in the
U.S. You know, we just said we all should be afraid and stay clear of whatever you stay clear of. The fact is, I just want to come in and do the show. So, and then go drink Monkey Shoulder with Holly.
I gotta say, I could say it like this. Tyranny cannot be birthed in order. The king needs peasants to be a ruler. Simple and plain. So what they need is chaos. And once they're able to have chaos, then they can be able to say, oh, well, we're, they can come in as the savior. And then those who are the ones that are being saved are going to see them as, the, you know, like
soldiers. The savior. So listen, speaking of that, President Biden, the president of the United States, POTUS, made the trip to beautiful Tampa, Florida yesterday. And so the president goes to Tampa yesterday, and I was sent on my personal phone a video of the exterior of the building, the location where the president was speaking, right? There was nobody there. There was nobody there. Nobody went.
No, there had to be a few
and
people.
I, D'Amica, am on a thread with some people who are all heavily engaged in politics. And one of the people on the thread was a part of the setup of such event. And they put on the thread the other day, hey, the president is coming to Tampa. And nobody responded. this is important that we have this conversation. There were no students there. This was on, there was nobody there. And then I think the cameraman who covered the speech from the interior of the location is probably going to get fired. Y'all know why? He panned the camera around. Did anybody see that? How many people were there?
I didn't see it, Don.
Okay. He panned the camera.
I don't know. Tell me. I need to know.
No, I'm going to send you. He panned the camera around. I think they just laid him off from wherever his job was.
Laid him off.
They laid him off. They had to lay the dude off. That was don't turn the camera. The key is don't turn the camera.
But what if he was just trying to garner sympathy for President Biden?
Again, don't turn the camera.
He was just trying to garner sympathy.
Did you show me that, D'Amica? Who showed me the camera? Send that to Holly, we're going to send you that. I think the cameraman getting ready to lose his job, okay, because he turned the camera. The fact
for report for doing his job.
Yeah, for showing everybody that nobody showed up.
but all he was on red tapes.
A few dozen.
But yeah, a few dozen people, right? It was more Secret Service than people. There's more law enforcement.
But the crazy part of that, what was they going to show up for?
Because he's the president, people should want to go see the president.
Well, let's go past that part.
Okay.
Let's go to the relevancy of what he would be doing.
Speaking to the
relevant
people.
Was Right.
Shuffling to the shuffling.
I know.
To the
I appreciate you trying, Don. I appreciate you trying, Don. And I think that that's a great effort on your part.
I'm just tired of people telling me that this is a tight race for president. I'm tired of people telling me about numbers that are going up. This is not real, okay? I'm telling you it's not real. You can believe the polls that say, oh, there's no trajectory. I'm telling you what I know, okay? I'm talking to people who are important in the system. When I talked to these old black women the other day who are hardcore Democrats who say, baby, I don't know. These are super voters. Hey, baby, I just don't know, baby. I'm just telling you right now, I don't know. I guarantee you they've never said that before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay?
Yeah, that's why they're called super voters.
And when you hear a super voter, okay, say, baby, I just don't know, that means, now listen to me, that's not saying they're going to go vote over there. That's saying if their gout is kicking in that morning, they ain't going to vote. And these people vote only on Election Day. You're not going to send them a mail-in ballot.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
You're not going to send them a mail-in ballot.
They're so going in early.
They're going in early. And if they are of the mindset, but baby, I just don't know. If that gout has kicked in at any level, they ain't going.
Yeah.
And I think we are seeing that more and more in the black community for sure. Okay? Denial is a river in Egypt. Okay? I'm over here. I'm not going to let somebody on one of these networks tell me that there's this quest to go and no, y'all, we got a problem. There are people who are over it, who are feeling like they've been have been bamboozled.
Yeah.
I am telling you there is a change in the conversation at a level that I never in my life thought I would see it at. And that's older black voters that are disenchanted. I'm telling you it's out there. You can let anybody on these damn networks tell you what they tell you. But I'm telling you, I talk to the older black voters that are disenchanted. They need 85% of the black vote to get this thing where they need to be. If they're under that, it might be a problem. You listen to the Don Miller Show. We'll be right back.
Back to the Don Miller Show on Florida Man Radio.
Welcome back to the Don Miller Show. Thank you so much, everybody. Welcome back. Thank you so much. Welcome back. First of all, shout out to all our friends who are listening and especially those who correspond with us through the mail. We appreciate you so much. We thank you very much. We got some friends listening all over the country and our friends who are incarcerated. We want to thank you so much. We appreciate the mail that you send us as well. And we're going to pray for you and keep you in our prayers. Shout out to those who are corresponding with us from Europe. We had a wonderful call yesterday from Germany. Open mic. Thank you so much. We appreciate it. I got a letter from a gentleman who is in Washington State who listens to the show. He is incarcerated in Washington State. Thank you very, very much. And our friends over at Coleman Correctional Facility, the federal facility just near Ocala, Florida. Thank you, all of you guys. We appreciate you so much for listening. We know you don't have to listen to us. You can be listening to something else, but we appreciate you listening to us.
Absolutely.
Hey, guys, give us a call. 321-339-1055. The number to dial. Drop us an open mic if you have the ability to do so. The app is in the App Store. You can take us anywhere you go. Hey, to all of our friends on the beautiful panhandle or in the beautiful panhandle of Florida, that's Destin, Fort Walton Beach. We thank you so much as well. I want to turn the corner on the conversation real quick, but it's so hard for me sometimes to get away from conversations that are just stuck in my head. And that is one of the reasons why I've been trying to figure out a way to get some sleep. It's just so hard to turn it off. And I got a lot of things people told me, hey, you should try this, you should try this. And I've tried. And
monkey shoulder.
I always say monkey shine, monkey shoulder. Holly.
Yeah, I ain't want to give him full credit to the advertisement.
that's on a deal, right? Again, no, really, you know, it's just really hard sometimes to turn it off. And I think it's harder now than ever before because so much is in our heads. D'Amico and I had a long conversation this morning about just that, turning it off. And D'Amico, she was just saying how frustrated she has become with just every day what we're seeing, you know, the fact that the prices are through the roof. And I kind of have been hearing the prices through the roof. But then I went to the grocery store the other day and I was like, y'all wasn't playing, huh?
Yeah.
It's, I was like, man, y'all for real about this thing, right? I just, man, you know, but again.
It's like bullying. They bullying you.
Actually, because you go somewhere, you ain't got no choice but to buy the, buy the project, the product. It is kind of up in your face, Holly, especially when you, look, I was telling you go to the grocery store hungry, you're going to make a bunch of mistakes. You better eat before you go to the grocery store. I think that's a...
you making decisions. That's life decisions you go to the grocery store.
Yeah, you in there. Oof. So, again, it's all real. Yeah. It's not make-believe. And I can tell you, if you go to the grocery store or if you don't, it's all real. It's not make-believe. Prices are crazy. For those who thought I was crazy to put $10 worth of gas in my car, I thought about the other day when I left the station. So I put 15 in yesterday.
If you were in California and putting $10 in your gas tank, it wouldn't have gotten you a tank of gas, because gas in California is $7, Holly. $7.
Yeah, a gallon.
Yeah, bro. And I walk in all day.
Scooter.
Just walking.
You just walking, Holly.
Yeah. Catching rides. I'm asking, are you going that way? Let me just ride on the back.
I was talking noise at the little seniors on their powered wheelchairs driving down the street, the street like it's a motorcycle. But
you thinking about getting
I'm trying to tell you.
You might be right for real.
I want leather seats. Yes. Yeah.
What you say? Yeah, that's,
he wants the leather seats.
He
wants
that fine Corinthian leather.
Man, I have me some headlights on mine, and you gotta have a little gotta have a windshield, because sometimes
look. The political teams are no longer divided into Democrats and Republicans. The whites who are now struggling for control of the American political throne are divided into liberal and conservative camps. The white liberals from both parties cross party lines to work together toward the same goal. And white conservatives from both parties do likewise. The white liberal differs from the white conservative only in one way. The liberal is more deceitful, more hypocritical than the conservative. Both want power, but the white liberal is the one who has perfected the art of posing as the Negro's friend and benefactor. And by winning the friendship and support of the Negro, the white liberal is able to use the Negro as a pawn or a weapon in this political football game that is constantly raging between the white liberals and the white conservatives. The American Negro is nothing but a political football, and the white liberals control this ball.
Thank you so much, everybody. Who was that?
MLK. Malcolm.
That was Malcolm.
So that's why they want to cancel him.
No. Listen, the fact of the matter is that was years. That was 50, 60 years ago.
And it's here today.
And that just popped into our conversation. Bam, it just hit me in the head.
Because why would you change the play if it's working?
Okay.
You don't need another playbook. You don't need another playbook. The old play is working.
And I hit that because in the open mic, one of the open mics mentioned Malcolm X.
Right.
And
I'm distracted by that snake, y'all. I'm sorry. I don't do snakes.
Distracted by the snake.
Collie, you know we see everything right here. There's a snake right there.
That's the devil right there. Wow. That's the devil trying to get you.
Yeah, they don't even see. Y'all be the one to walk outside. Right up on the snake.
Well, we're in Florida, ain't it, though?
Yeah, it's in that little pile of hay right there.
Oh, that's a woke white snake.
You'll see it. You see it right now? There it is.
Hi, that, it's the a snake. Black snake. Hi, I'm down with your struggle.
Oh, yeah, I see it.
You see it now?
No, don't get distracted. Yeah. This is why they don't need windows in the studio.
Especially not with no real animals.
Well, if you see the window, if you see everything, well, that's that window.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you know.
Don't need windows in the
studio. Speaking
of
snakes, the white liberal.
Mm. Oh, God.
Oh, wow.
That's what he called them.
That's what he did.
That's what he. That's not me. That's what Malcolm called him.
No. Listen to me.
Not verbatim, but in essence.
It's amazing because let's spend a few minutes on that. Mm-hmm. Can we spend a few minutes on that? Mm. That speech was done more than 60 years ago. Okay, right at that was 1963, and it is when you listen to it, he is he's absolutely. Everything he's saying is a description of today's engagement, right?
Absolutely.
I have for years, shout out to Heather. We appreciate you so much. Who just sent me a message. Heather will be up with Shannon Burke, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on Florida Man Radio. It's amazing when you, I'm going to play a little bit more of that because I think that what's important is context. Just listen for a minute.
Through tricks or tokenism, false promises of integration and civil rights. In this game of deceiving and using the American Negro, the white liberals have complete cooperation of the Negro civil rights leader who sell our people out for a few crumbs of token recognition, token gains.
Okay. Think about that. Go look. Al Sharpton, maybe? Al Sharpton? Hold on, listen.
Token progress. In the New York Tribune, in an editorial dated February the 5th, 1960, they pointed out that out of 11 million qualified Negro voters, only 2,700,000 actually take time to vote. This means that, roughly speaking, only 3 million out of the 11 million Negroes who are qualified to vote take an active part. And the remaining 8 million remain voluntarily inactive. And yet it is this small minority, the 3 million Negro voters, who help determine who will be the next president.
Mm. Now, this is 1963, guys. Mm. The level of engagement in 1963... Today, 2024, we cannot, and I want everybody to hear this. This is not about race. It's not about whatever. We cannot allow our history to be a mystery.
Thanks.
The fact that we don't engage and have a better understanding of who was who in the history of this conversation. Perception. They sell us. Look. I have had dinner with Martin Luther King's son, D'Amico, and I. And he definitely didn't tell me that his daddy was nothing but a conservative, right? His principles, his values, what he stood for, correct?
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't understand your history, then you see these people leading you down a road because you lack understanding. And your Bible speaks to that, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Lacking understanding, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's just amazing, even with the Palestinian conversation, with the fact that
people don't know history there.
They don't know the history.
At least biblical history.
Which, it's amazing to me, I have not seen more support for the Jewish community from the Christian church. That's interesting. Would you concur?
Absolutely.
And I haven't seen any black church really take on this conversation. I'm amazed because you show up every Sunday with a book.
That's all about it.
Thanks.
And you're not even reading the book. Then you put your hand and take an oath on the book that you are not reading a book for everyone. You get sworn in to be the governor, the mayor, the senator,
you put your hand
city councilman,
on that
you
Bible.
Put a hand on a book that you know nothing of.
That you know nothing
Let's
of.
Let's go over to the phone lines. Hey, you're on the Don Miller Show.
Hi, good morning, guys. This is Keith from Freeport.
Hey, Keith, Freeport. What's Freeport?
Freeport's on the other side of the bay from Dustin.
Oh, hey, man. Okay, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Hey, I wanted to comment about what you just played, Dr. Martin Luther King.
That was Malcolm X.
Malcolm X. Okay. My apologies.
Go ahead.
The issue is if 3 million were voting and 8 million that were not voting, the difference between 1963 and now is that the Democrats have figured out how to tap in to the number, whether it was 8 million back then, mm-hmm. that were voting, and that is the ballot harvesting. So mm-hmm. the 3 million that are actively involved, it's the big concern. They get overwhelmed by getting votes of that 8 million or whatever the number is today mm-hmm. that aren't involved in the process, or they buy the ballots or they pick up the ballots from schools or wherever, and then they turn those in, and that's how they're winning the elections. And it will continue because typically, you know, around 60% actively vote. When we weren't forcing kind of the voting thing, ballot harvesting has come about, and they've tapped into that 40%, and that will overdo the voting public anytime.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, my friend. We appreciate the call. You know, it's interesting, right, because it's amazing how history repeats itself. Mm-hmm. Getting back to the conversation about that book, D'Amica, it's amazing to me how many people just use it as a tool.
As a prop.
Mm. Yeah, because I can't believe you swear in on a book that you had never read before.
Mm-hmm.
You put your hand and take an oath on a book that you have never read before.
You know what's
funny? You hear me, Holly? Like, why even have the Bible there?
Right.
You ain't read it.
Yeah.
You don't even know what's in it.
Get the Harry Potter's book.
Yes, why ain't no Harry Potter?
Because for those who are spiritual, I'm not saying that for people who aren't spiritual. Okay. For those who are spiritual, I don't think we really understand how detrimental it is that our politicians put their hand on that book, because technically what you're doing, you're coming into a covenant. You're making an oath. So you're going into a covenant. Yeah. And you're using God to establish that covenant. So every policy that you do that's anti-God, you're breaking covenant with him.
Mm. Okay. Because listen to this. It's very interesting she says that. Now watch this, right? And I know some people don't like it when we do these kind of shows, but just you'll be all right. Just give us a minute. We had to do this today. So a staunch supporter of late-stage abortion wins the election and swears in on the Bible and then immediately goes to the floor and supports late stage abortions. So you're saying that's breaking the covenant?
Yes. Immediately. Yes. Yes.
So absolutely. You take an oath.
Yes, you take an oath.
You to put your abide hand by on this it. Book.
Right.
And the principles of such.
Then you go create a policy that's against it.
Blasphemy.
So pretty much, as your shirt says today, policy against progress is bad policy.
Absolutely.
Give us a call, 321-339-1055. So, Lee, get the Bible out of there. Because if that book means
don't
that.
Take the Bible out.
Yeah, take the Bible out. Well, get rid of the Bible.
Because you bring in judgment. So you're bringing judgment on the country.
Mm-hmm. Right.
If we take the Bible out of the country, we're done.
The Bible been out.
We're already done.
The Bible been out.
No.
The way they play it is still relevant.
The only way, Holly, to your point,
not fully used.
To your point, Holly, the only reason why it is still relevant because of the people that's in the country who do abide by that book. Because only the people who do abide by the book and are also citizens of this country, they are the only ones that can stand in the gap for the country. Mm. So you got this. So that's why that's the only thing that makes it relevant.
But are they? Are they standing in the gap?
There are some standing for us.
Oh, that's
who,
the point. Because I know
not many in the black church.
I know. I this is really interesting, right? I know a guy who is a surgeon who just moved here recently from another country, and he was performing gender reassignment surgery in his country.
Mm.
And he is, as he puts it, a devout Christian.
Mm.
And he, listen
so
to
how
this.
How can he do that?
Holly, I'm telling you, Holly, you really nice yeah. guy. And he moved here from another country. And he calls himself a devout Christian. And he's a surgeon in his specialty area. Was gender reassignment. Let's take some phone calls. Hey, you're on the Don Miller Show. What's your name? Where are you joining us from?
Yeah, I'm joining you from just outside of Orlando, Claremont.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Good, good. I heard the snip from Malcolm X, mm-hmm. and I wanted to enlighten you on a Paul Harvey
mm-hmm.
Thing that was that he did about 1960 or 1970, I'm not sure it's called, If I Was the Devil.
Mm-hmm. It was brilliant. It was brilliant.
And it's just so forward-thinking that it...
Did we lose
Hello?
Him? I think we lost him. Call us back, caller.
Call us back. Let's head back to the phone lines. Hey, you're on the Don Miller Show. What's your name? Where are you calling us from?
Hey, Don Miller, AP from the Panhandle. Hey, I just want to thank you again for your awesome show. You guys nail it. You guys knock it out of the park every time. And my father, bragging on my dad, taught us a long time ago about swearing on a Bible and the oath that that is. And D'Amica is absolutely correct in what would be my understanding of a commitment like that or to make an oath like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it just seems like every time we enter man's intellect and his personal wisdom and insight, we know that scripture says that that is folly
mm-hmm.
to God.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, but hey, thank you so much, man. We appreciate
thank
you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Let's go back to the phone. Okay, let me just say this, right? In real life, seriously, right? In real life, this is very important that we get this out in the open. Knowledge makes a man unfit to be a slave.
Thanks.
Let me repeat that. Knowledge makes a man unfit to be a slave. When you think about that,
mm-hmm.
you are brought to a place where people consistently engage in ridiculous conversation and then want to know why there is no growth. Knowledge makes a man unfit to be a slave.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not seeking growth and seeking knowledge, then what are you doing? Let's go to the phone lines. Okay. What we got? Okay, but think about this. Go ahead real quick.
All right, so Matthew 33:37. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn. But I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one white hair white or black. You cannot make one hair white or black. Let what you say simply yes or no. Anything more? Then this
you're doing
comes
too
from
much.
Evil.
Okay. Now, so saith the Ashy Pastor. That came from the Ashy Pastor.
Anything else, you're doing too much.
That came from the Ashy Pastor.
Matthew 5.
That's all right.
That came from the Ashy Pastor. Right there, Stedman. Who was that?
The Dusty Macchiato.
Hey, y'all, give us a call. Really, you know, I think it's really important, guys, to have real conversations sometimes. And somebody's always going to be offended. But that's okay. I'm fine with that.
Absolutely.
But I can tell you, if we don't engage in history,
mm-hmm.
if we don't engage in history, then that's shameful on us. Because
you got open conversation.
You got to have these kind of conversations, man. I know somebody didn't turn us off or two people didn't turn us off, but that's fine. We okay. We just trying to come in here and earn these few dollars, Dayton. Blessed as we're just want to keep these few dollars coming. Keep these damn lights on, man. I need gas. I just used my whole check on gas. Hey, let's run the break. We come back. The phone lines are open. We're going to turn the corner, but hang with us. If you are listening in the Panhandle at 103.1 FM We really appreciate you. Tell your friends about us. Also, 103.1 FM in Orlando. Tell your friends about us. Also, 101.1 FM in beautiful Cali, Florida. You listen to the Don Miller Show on Florida Man Radio.
Back to the Don Miller Show on Florida Man Radio.
If I were the Prince of Darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old, I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And
thank you so much. 1965, Paul Harvey, If I Were the Devil.
Wow.
1965. Listen to me.
Wow.
We have to have a better understanding of history. On one hand, we have Paul Harvey, 1965. Listen to everything he touched. You can find that in its entirety by Googling Paul Harvey, If I Were the Devil. And I want you to listen to it, but I want you to listen to it. I want you to share it with people who have allowed our history to be dismissed. We cannot continue down this road. And the way we do so is agree to disagree, but seek knowledge. That's 1965. I was 2 years old. And Paul Harvey was one of the greatest journalists of that era who approached the microphone and laid out America 60 years from that day. Let's check out some open mics.
Hey, guys, Greg in Connecticut. Well, if you continue to dumb down the population as they intentionally do so, makes them easier to control. You know, you can't get all the students' scores up so that they're equal. The only way for equality to happen is if you bring everybody else down. Again, intentional. It's sad. When Civil War start?
Beat it, beat it.
Hey, y'all, it's G-Off again. Did you hear that a judge in El Paso, Texas, dropped the charges against the 90 illegals that stormed and attacked the National Guard?
Oh, no.
Today's Sesame Street is sponsored by Nauseating. It's ridiculous. Oh. And why can't we find out what that judge's name is? That person is in none of the media sites.
Good morning, guys. This is Shannon in Fort Walton Beach. I just wanted to comment to D'Amica saying the white liberals are snakes. She's absolutely right. We wave flags every Tuesday for Trump, and they are the meanest, most obnoxious individuals driving by every week. Also, shout out to whoever drives the Florida Man truck up here in the panhandle. He's always honking the horn and showing us some love.
Aww.
I'm so happy D'Amica's there today. Good morning, listen, laugh, and learn crew. Listen, the Bible says Depart from me, you never knew me, workers of iniquity. Hell will be full of nice people. Mm-hmm. Has nothing to do with it. So that's the truth.
Spot on.
As a 20-year listener of Bubba and Shannon, you guys are amazing. I wish there was some way you could take some of these things y'all are saying, some of these Malcolm X stories, the things y'all are commenting on, and make them into some kind of shorts so we could spread the word. You guys are doing a great job.
Thank you so much again. An apostle judge, I hadn't gotten to that, but thank you so much, caller. Open mic. And a judge in El Paso, Texas, a county judge, dropped all charges against the 140 illegals that stormed with vitriol the National Guards. And
so the people that died or just died for no reason?
Well, let's take some phone calls. Hey, you're on the Don Miller Show. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Yeah, hey, Don Navarre, real quick. Hey, yeah, this may be a little off topic, but I kind of look at our government. This is the same government that dealt with the Native Americans, our blacks in slavery, my ancestors in the coal mines and the steel mills. Mm-hmm. And I think for the most part, that's what we're dealing with here, the same type of government. And now we're the Native Americans. Mm-hmm. And that's just kind of my thought process.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Absolutely.
I agree with that.
Thank you so much. I think that's 100% spot on. Go ahead.
Brave. That was a brave thing to say, too.
Yeah. You.
So in the clip we just played, when he said families at war against themselves, it made me think about a story that I was told by a senior recently. She explained to me, and not just this was when Donald Trump first got elected, right? She explained to me that when her daughter found out that she, the mother, had voted for Donald Trump, she cut off all communications with her mother, and she did not allow her mother to come see her grandbaby.
Wow.
So completely disassociated with her mother only because she voted for Donald Trump.
That is sad.
That's just how divisive it, like, people have completely lost their minds, Don.
Well, not really. I think it's one of the most brilliant.
You think that's okay, Holly?
Listen. I think it's a brilliant scheme that's working well for the people behind the brilliant scheme. You know what I mean? If that young lady, who's a fool, right? Who's a total idiot, thinks it's okay to engage in separation from her mama, who carried her for 9 months because of political conversation, then she is truly a sheep.
Yeah.
You follow me? She's a follower. She's sucked in. Okay? It's Trump derangement syndrome, TDS, right?
Trump derangement syndrome?
No, it is. Stedman, you've heard of it. It's Trump derangement. These people are so deranged in the level of disdain and hate. It's just overtaking their bodies.
And their actions.
Hmm?
Their actions, yeah. Don, again, the only thing I can say again is tyranny cannot be birthed in order. All changes in government are born in chaos. So they're trying to take over, but it's going to take time.
No, think about this. A sheep spends his whole life. His whole life.
Yeah.
From the time a sheep is born. A sheep spends his entire life in fear of the wolf, only to be eaten by the shepherd. Go look. A sheep, from the time it is born, is frightened of the wolf, only to find itself on the shepherd's table.
Some good lamb.
You hear what I'm saying, Holly? Huh? Man, okay? Think about this, right? You running from that wolf. That wolf is your enemy.
Yeah.
But you're consumed at the end of the day by the shepherd. Give us a call.
Thing is knowing who your enemy is.
Yeah, right, right.
I don't necessarily, like the analogy, but I do understand what you're trying to say.
I'm just telling you the truth. It's a good analogy.
Damn, now I'm hungry.
They've always done this. They've always done those stories where you show the sheep and the you show the wolf and the wolf has the sheep clothing and he's grabbed the sheep and run off or whatever. And it's still that way. I mean, it's still that way. We just got new sheep. We got new wolves. Everybody's dressing differently. It's just we're in a really tough situation right now because you don't know. You can't go either or. You can't really do either or because either or is not they're not completely correct. So that's why the independents need to stand up and say, look, you need to vote for what's right. And that's it. Vote for what's right, not what's the group is saying. So much. Because some things you can't agree with everything somebody's saying. You can't.
Yeah.
I've known Don for 50 years.
Yeah.
And we agree to disagree all the time.
You got to agree to disagree. But I just, when I'm looking at what's happening, I just believe that having an understanding is what's important. And I think there's so many people who are talking that don't even understand. And that's a problem. When you allow someone to, it's amazing. It's kind of like social media, right?
Yeah.
When you allow people to have a platform and anybody can get a platform. They don't have to be studied in the conversation they're in. Think about this, right? The other day, John Legend went on an interview. And John Legend is a good singer. I'm not big on his music, but he's a good singer by all intents and purposes. Mm-hmm. Okay. He goes on a platform and he spews his political position and is viral.
Mm-hmm.
Why do we care John Legend's political position? And why are all of these entertainment types going to microphones or push to microphones to spew their political position? Historically, they wouldn't do it because they would fear losing people who enjoyed their art but may not agree with them politically. Mm-hmm. You follow me? Now it's gotten to a point where they're being told what to do by the people who control the purse strings. You cannot tell me that John Legend does not have conservative, Republican people who enjoy his work.
Yeah.
I believe he does. Okay? So he goes to a microphone and he drives this race conversation card to an extent that I thought quite unnecessary, right?
Mm-hmm.
But now you got all of these people and they wanted to get these young, unlearned entertainers to do it and they pushed back on it. You follow me? They tried to get Sexy Red to do it. Sexy Red say, I'm with Trump. They tried to get Kodak Black to do it. Kodak Black say, I'm with Trump. Lil Wayne, I'm with Trump, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the other few that came out,
yeah,
they didn't take a position at all. The little drunk girl the other day.
Gorilla, yeah.
She was like, y'all ain't going to get me in that.
She sure did.
Okay.
Smart. The smartest thing she's done.
The little Neptune boy was like, nope, you ain't going to get me in that, right? But then they go out, and this is go back to when I talk about the alleged astute Negroes, right? Because they'd have ran out of gas for show with these young folk. And you are not going to see a hip-hopper. I will be shocked. Remind me if that is going to go to a microphone on behalf, especially these young hip-hoppers, on behalf of Joe Biden. You're not going to see that. And remind me if I'm wrong, Holly. Okay? These young people, they ain't get ready to do that, right? But I can tell you, they're going to move toward the astute Negroes with microphones.
He said the astute Negroes.
No, I'm serious. No, listen to me. Mm-hmm. Right? Think about it. Show me the big-time, hardcore, engaged young rapper that said, hey, I'm with this. No, they're not going to do it. And even in the midst of Chameleon Harris inviting them to her house to have
Kamala.
Oh, man, I'm sorry. Right, Chameleon. I'm sorry. Chameleon Harris. Okay. Sorry. That was a Freudian, might I add, slip. Okay. Chameleon Harris. Anyway, sorry. But even as she has invited and went to the DOJ to waive some policies, to invite some convicted felons to the house of the vice president. You understand, if you're a convicted felon, you can't go on them grounds, right? Mm-hmm. Unless you get a waiver. Mm-hmm. They still won't come. You follow me? Think about it. They still won't say, all right, we with him, right? So the stakes have gotten so high that they go out and get this guy, John Legend, who's quite frankly a goofball, right? Who lives he's a goofball. His music's okay, but
he's legend in the game for songwriting. So I have to give
his music's okay.
I have to give him his due.
No.
I'm good with his music.
Okay, listen to me. I don't even know his music like that. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Right? I noticed you don't know a lot of the R&B.
No, I don't know.
R&B.
No, I don't know his music. I don't know his music.
Would you say, Holly, he's not American? Would you say?
African American. Okay. American.
I don't know his music.
He's middle of the road.
Who?
Yeah.
Who, Holly?
You're middle of the road.
Me, absolutely.
You know, middle of the road.
Yeah, I don't know John Legend's music. But what I do know is this quest to get a black person with a following to go out and say things.
Mm-hmm.
I'm watching this, okay? I don't know John Legend's music. I couldn't name a John Legend song.
Mm-hmm.
But I can tell you he's the type of astute black guy that... I could tell you this too, Mr. John Legend, sir. You just lost a lot of your. First of all, I Googled the ticket prices to go see John Legend. It's $300-$400.
It's for white people.
Huh?
Yeah, it's for white people.
Yeah. And all of these white people are not liberals.
Facts.
So if I'm a conservative white and John Legend is coming to a city near you, cancel your ticket. Stay in your singing ass lane, man.
Why y'all say it's for white people just because of the price of the ticket?
No, I looked at some John Legend concert pictures. Pull it up on your smart ass phone. I ain't see that many black people at the John Legend concert. It was loaded up with white people. Huh? Pull it up on your smart ass phone.
I
don't care where John Legend lives. I am saying I just wanted to see when I saw this, who goes to see John Legend? It would look like the Island of Caucasus in that bitch.
ain't many black folk in Ohio.
No, right. He all over the country, though.
Oh, true. So you're saying...
Stepped on your audience because these people told you to run your ass out there and step on your audience.
Facts. Mm.
The fact of the matter is that many of them don't have a choice when the bell rings from upstairs.
That's true.
Yes. The problem with these little goofball ass... people who have engaged
you really believe they don't have a choice?
Oh, no, there's a control mechanism. Let me just say this. Why would John Legend, who stood on the stage and looked out at all the beautiful white faces at his last concert, okay, don't understand that all of them ain't with him politically? And when you
maybe he's just ignorant,
when you cross the line and call Donald Trump a racist, you can go to the microphone, Mr. John Legend, sir, and you can say you don't support Donald Trump. That's fine. I won't vote for Donald Trump.
But
he went way down the road. Come on. So if you're a white person and you hold it, go find out what city he going to be in next, young fella.
All right.
Okay, if you're a white person and you holding a ticket to the next John Legend concert, do me a favor. Cancel your ticket. Get your money back, man. Don't do that. But he didn't have a choice. Somebody told him, get your ass out there and say this. If you can't get Sexy Red, if you can't get Sexy Red,
31st.
Where?
Oklahoma, USA.
And John Legend are different.
Okay. Different. Grand Theater.
Okay. Sexy Red been on the scene week.
Uh-huh.
She been on the scene week. Nobody heard of her before. Nobody heard of her, and everybody cared, and nobody's going to care next week. When they find somebody else to maneuver in the same way that she's doing.
Right.
They're looking for a new person now. with a person right now. Wow. And sexy red is she? Oh man, I mean, what would you follow? Where would you?
Holly, you got to listen to what you're saying. You know, listen to what you're saying. Listen to what you're saying. You're saying Sexy Red and Glorilla and Kodak Black and Lil Wayne and Shaquille O'Neal and all of these.
To their names.
Okay, you got to listen, dog. And Shaquille O'Neal and all of these people who have gone to microphones, even the ones who said, you know, none of these people have called Donald Trump a racist.
Facts.
Listen, it ain't about the political card. It's about the way John Legend doubled down in calling this gentleman a racist, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He ain't got to support him politically. But the point, stay with me on this point. If you got a hood-ass, ghetto-ass, low-level rapper who go back to the hood, John Legend ain't seen no hood. If you got a hood-ass, low-level-ass, ghetto-ass rapper who's also uneducated and probably just registered to vote Wednesday, who won't call Donald Trump a racist, then the astute black guy who goes to the suburban mansion with his light-skinned wife who has got some challenges as we speak, why would he think this is okay to double down and triple down? Because he probably had no choice but to do so.
You guys refer to it. Is it break time yet?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'll say it when I come back then. You listen to The Don Miller Show. We'll be right back.
Back to The Don Miller Show on Florida Man Radio.
Welcome back to The Don Miller Show, where we listen, laugh, and learn. Hey, give us a call. 321-339-1055 is the number to dial.
Hey, who is this? Oh, who's this music?
I guess I'm the only one that don't know.
Lil Milton.
Nobody knows.
Lil Milton Campbell. Come on, Holly.
Edmund there. Did you put it on?
Little Milton.
Just saying.
Little Milton. Little Lisa was a man. And Mona Lisa was a man.
Oh,
thank
wow.
you so much, everybody.
Oh, wow.
But let me just
a little bit more than I know.
Let's get back to real quick, because I want to turn out of this. But I really want to get back to the John Legend sit down interview that I thought should have an effect on how people see him. Now, we knew his wife tended to open her mouth oftentimes in political conversation that changed the way a lot of people see her.
His wife is
Christy somebody. Okay. What's her name, Stedman?
Christine Turlington, I think. Right?
Tegan. Right.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even know. And, but for this guy, LP, what's the average ticket price to go see this guy?
About $131
that's not the average ticket
seats.
Price.
I'm saying for the back row seats.
Yeah, for the right, nosebleeds?
For the nosebleeds, it's $131. So everything else is... It's going to get to like $400, $500, $600.
Ridiculous.
Right.
Depending if it,
don't
how
need
close
to
you
see
want to be.
That bad.
So here's a guy.
Don't need to see him that bad.
Here's a guy. Either he's emotionally caught up or he was forced to have a conversation about this. Or he just really believes what he believes and he is willing to put it all on the line. But when you start calling people racist, you can stand against somebody's political ideology. That's fine. We do that on the show all the time. But when you start calling people racist without having a basis or the ability to elaborate on some racial points in the conversation or pick out a few things that may really push them toward that, what you're saying, then I think we have to be careful with this. And especially a guy who white folk flock to see. Because I don't know. I just called three black people who said they wouldn't pay to go see him. Okay? D'Amica, you like his music. I don't know
his music. I like his music, but I wouldn't I wouldn't pay $300 to go see Beyonce either. So
no, well,
I'm
none
not
of it.
The
I don't think
person.
Anybody on the show would do that. Okay? So, but the point is,
no.
We have gotten to a point where people who entertain us have thought, you're an entertainer. We really don't care how you feel. And now you've presented yourself as a guy who was working for somebody else or just it's so confused that you ain't looking out in the seats.
In the bubbles.
Huh? Think about this, right? Watch this. If a guy like this would come out and say something about a black politician, a white guy at his level, right? Say somebody black running for president and a guy at his level as a white entertainer, say a country music star, okay, comes out and says something along these lines, right? There would be significant pushback, correct?
Mm-hmm.
But Mr. John Legend, we don't care. And your audience especially. Know who's sitting out there, buddy. But these are people who get so caught up. They're emotional, not informational.
Yeah.
And his position on this conversation, the way he doubled down, is the only thing that bothers me. He didn't just hit it and quit it. He ran down the street with the sign. But again, it's not my kind of music.
And Don, I ain't gonna lie to you. I enjoy John Legend a lot. I'm not even gonna sit up here and
forget. What's your favorite? So what's your favorite John Legend song?
Green All of Me by
Green Lights. You know what I'm saying?
I never heard that.
Mm-hmm. You feel me? Preach. Uh-huh. I really like John Legend, and to hear this, it got me beside myself because I'm like, did he mean racist? Did he mean the word racist?
Oh. Okay. Let's listen to what actually was said real quick.
And most of the laws that end up being criminally enforced are local and state laws. That being said, at the same time, you know, he's claiming credit for those small things. He's also saying, you know, if people are stealing something, they should get shot in the middle of the store. When we protested the killing of George Floyd, he was advocating for the military to shoot us in the streets. He's made it clear throughout his life that he believes black people are inferior. Mm-hmm. Like he believes that to his core, in his bones. He wouldn't let us live in his buildings back in the day. But also, when you hear some of the stray comments he makes, he clearly believes in a genetic hierarchy of mm-hmm. humanity and is racially determined. So he is a tried and true, like, dyed in the wool racist.
Okay.
Come on.
Now, Holly, you like Donald Trump? Oh, he's not lying?
He's not lying, though.
I mean, I was going to say, Holly agrees with him.
Where, but point to a situation.
He's done those things, but
because we're going to talk. We're going to talk.
Which,
tell me, show me when Donald Trump says shoot the people in the street.
When the whole situation was going on, four boys, the seven boys, whatever.
The whole ad.
Listen, let me finish talking.
Okay.
He put the whole ad out
that
was totally against it, saying that what they should do to the kids, and they were wrong.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now he make a mistake. I ain't saying it's wrong for making a mistake. I'm just saying that this has been Donald Trump. So why is everybody acting as though it's different than what he's been? I mean, he's always pretty much said what he said and felt like he felt. And like it, you like it, you don't. And there's nothing wrong with that general. But I don't want to be the president.
Yeah. So
but in general, it's what it is.
So I got a question. When he made a remark, if he made a remark, because I don't know if he made it or not. I'm not even interested to look it up. So what was happening during that time? Because if we're going to talk about it, we got to talk about it. What was happening during that time? People were breaking down doors, burning cars, flipping people.
You're talking about during George Floyd protests?
Not just George Floyd. It was Antifa along with the BLM members mm-hmm. that were involved in it. So it was a joint operation. So it wasn't anything about race. It was basically if you break into that store or you burn that car, you are pretty much committing violence against people and innocents.
Businesses
and
that had nothing to
exactly.
do with George Floyd.
And then they should be able to stand on him and shoot you in the street. Now, I'm not saying that's a nice way of saying it.
Never says anything politically correct.
You know what I'm saying? So if it comes down to it, if somebody's having a party on your lawn and then they also lighten your lawn on fire, I might be inclined to, you know, empty the air barrel. You know what I'm saying? Empty the magazine. Because I'm not going to have my property, my life, or my...
destroyed.
Exactly. Because you feel some type of...
In other words, everybody that's violated against you
to go out and build and everything.
If you decide to put your foot down,
rules and regulations and laws.
But if you put your foot down and cross a line, there are repercussions to your actions. So I have no sympathy for anybody.
Not
like
me
that.
Either. Not
for destroying other people's property.
Yeah. You know, but you know, it's amazing to me.
Have you ever done anything illegal before?
Yeah, but I didn't bring it to the point of violence.
So then why are you not trying?
I didn't do it to the point of violence because it wasn't violent.
Why did you not turn yourself in and say, "Hey, I'm guilty. I want to serve all the I'm supposed to serve."
But how does that play?
Listen, in real life, we lost the point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The point is, John Legend needs to stay in his lane.
Facts.
We don't need to hear from this guy nor his wife, especially I can't support this guy calling somebody a racist. And the points he made are just most. It's like somebody gave him a script. Say this is the things he's done racially.
Mm.
Okay, because if you say he's a racist. And Holly says he believes he might be a racist.
Until you go two layers deep.
Then we shift to the other conversation where there's documented paperwork in the Library of Congress.
Facts.
Of policy issues that can point to the other conversation that have touched at a greater rate the poor, the downtrodden, and people of color.
Mm.
Let's be clear. Correct? This guy was a private businessman. We don't like the way he says certain things. Okay? But he's been a private businessman his whole life. He was a Democratic private businessman until such point he decided to run for president. He comes out of the Democratic Party. He was a very large Democratic donor. And he was such donor as he sat at the wedding as Hillary and Bill went to his wedding, right? They sat there, front row and center.
Yeah.
And many of the Democrat leadership engaged for 30 years with Donald Trump, correct? So he shifted out of their home into his own conversation. Of course they're frightened by him because he know
the playbook.
Now listen to me. Let's be clear. And it's amazing when I hear especially those who have been politically for many years, talk about this dude being a racist. The Maxine Waters and many of these people who broke bread with him for many years. You guys, you broke bread with him. You stayed at Mar-a-Lago. You traveled on his plane. Come on. Let's be clear. What do we stand for? Jesse Jackson for president was funded by a good piece of money from Donald Trump. Let's go look.
Mm.
Right? This guy was their friend longer than he's been the friend of the Republican Party.
Facts.
And now the same people that broke bread with him and traveled with him and kissed the ring to get checks to run for office all over this country have come to microphones to call him names. You guys are clowns. Anybody who knows the history.
I don't believe that.
Dude, I've been in the room. I've been in the room when.
I understand you.
What you don't believe. What you don't believe.
I don't believe that you're missing out to make it seem like he's such a good guy.
I'm not saying he's a good guy, Holly. What I'm saying is these people took money from him and they sat at dinner tables with him to get this money. Go look. Head over to opensecrets.org. Go see who
I know you're telling the truth.
Okay? So how is he a racist now?
It's the way the system works.
Okay.
It's the way the system has always worked.
Mm-hmm.
It's always worked this way. The has the biggest bag of money, has the biggest. Mm-hmm. It decides. People decide.
Okay.
The one with the most money.
And if we're going to talk about Donald Trump and how he's not nice, I got to say this. I don't want no.
I don't care if he's nice or not. That's the problem, right? Because
when you
give a damn about that.
When you're in that position and you're speaking across the table from somebody that wants to step on your throat, I don't think a weak back or a very nice and charming or politically correct person is going to get the job done when somebody wants to bomb your people.
Okay. Listen to me. For years, guys, most of his money went to Democrats, okay?
Facts.
Let's be clear, all right? For years. And he sat at the table with them. He said things that... Go ahead, D'Amico.
What Don is really basically saying is the only reason why this narrative is what it is because he's no longer a Democrat.
Yes, facts. That's all.
The whole Donald Trump is a racist wouldn't even be a part of the conversation if he was still had a D.
Facts. Even if he was saying what he's saying.
They still wouldn't have a problem with it because he would be affiliated with the Democrats. The only reason why we're having this whole Donald Trump is a racist conversation is because he is a Republican.
And they can stop getting paid.
Everything he has ever said, will say would be okay if he was a Democrat.
Facts.
Yeah. That's what Don is saying. He's not trying to say that he's a good guy.
How you saying that ain't true? Holly, the whole thing
he did pull the article, spend his own personal money, put an article out about it.
Okay.
Now they were wrong.
Okay.
But I'm saying you can't say that everything that he said is upset because he's a Republican. Now it's not positive Republican. Everybody else
but Joe Biden has
Democratic and Republican power too much. It's people are racist. If there are any, it doesn't matter what party you're with. There's racist Democrats too. I mean, there's we gotta stop labeling it the Republican or Democrats.
Yes, we're not gonna stop.
But you acknowledge that there are racist Democrats, but the racist Democrats aren't getting canceled. The racist Democrats aren't being canceled. They're not being called out. They're not being called racist. That we're not engaging with them the same way. If you believe that there are racist Democrats, because I believe that they are on both sides of the party, but only the ones.
Biden is the president.
Okay, but how many people, where is the narrative in mainstream media that's calling Joe Biden a racist other than on the Don Miller show?
He's able to get it done.
Okay, let me ask you a question. Anybody familiar with Kamala Harris? I mean, the vice president? Anybody familiar with her?
Yeah.
Anybody recall when she had dinner with Donald Trump and he gave her money in 2011 for her... run for attorney general. Anybody familiar with that?
No.
Okay. Anybody familiar with Cory Booker, the senator from New Jersey? Anybody familiar with him?
Okay, but what's the point?
No, this is the point. Then if you take money from a racist, if you take money from a racist,
was he a Democrat or Republican?
No. He's a racist. He was a racist.
Because you said it doesn't matter what party he's in.
You just said it don't matter.
Exactly.
Did Joe Biden take money from Donald Trump for 9 election cycles? Yes or no? Anybody know?
What?
Did John Kerry, did Terry McAuliffe, did Gillibrand take money for Donald Trump? Did Chuck Schumer take money from Donald Trump? Now he's a racist.
Right. Which time was it right?
Holly, you got to listen. It is amazing to me.
That is the point.
It is amazing to me.
Whichever way the wind blows is with what they want, what they want their agenda to be.
Okay,
you're right now. You're talking. A Republican that was a Democrat. You're talking about a Democrat that is a Republican primarily the way he things out. So what is the real sort of their what is the
hypocrisy is in
hey guys we gotta figure this connection thing out. It's driving me crazy,
but let me just say the hypocrisy is in the fact that We want to.
Hey, Holly, why don't you get off of the Comrex and just call the show?
We want to label Donald.
Yeah, because this is killing me.
We want to label Donald Trump as Comrex. A racist.
Call the show. Call in.
We want to label Donald Trump as a racist.
Thanks, SB.
Say that we're not. You shouldn't vote for him because he's a racist. But then at the same time, you're saying they're racist politicians in the Democratic Party. You're not calling them a racist, and you're not saying don't vote for them.
Facts. This is my point. If I took money from a racist, and I found out later it's a racist, I'm going to probably try to figure out a way to get the money back.
Facts.
Oftentimes when we see people take money from people who did some nefarious behavior, one of the things we see often is I'm going to give them their money back.
Right, because you don't want to be indebted to somebody you don't agree with.
Right, okay? Mm-hmm. But when you look at the list of people who are now, this is all I'm saying, when you look at the list of people who are now calling this guy a racist, and the fact that they have broken bread with him on many occasions,
mm-hmm.
they have flown across the country to go to Mar-a-Lago to sit at the table and have dinner at his home.
Feet kicked up.
No, really. Listen to me. This is the most disingenuous conversation in this to me. If you don't like the guy, you don't like the guy. But this whole racist thing is driving me crazy because y'all kissed his ass. I was there. I saw this with my own eyes.
Nose in between.
I've seen Republicans deliver checks to Democrats. I've seen this. I never see Democrats bring checks to Republicans. I lived this. We have to not trust people who exhibit this level of ridiculous-ass behavior. Trump wrote giant checks to Kushner. I mean, to the Senator Schumer.
Schumer.
Giant checks.
Yeah.
Giant checks. Cory Booker's gay-ass, he gave you big money. And now you guys, and Cory's quiet now because Cory,
he don't really say much.
No, he better not. Okay? The fact is, guys, listen to me. I don't like it when you call somebody a racist and you can't point to real things that may be able to drive the point or you can elaborate upon. That's all. Yeah. I get it. Donald Trump didn't rent to black people. Go look who didn't rent to black people in that era. That was a policy angle. Okay, go look. It ain't right. I'm not saying it's right. When you see the Central Park Five situation, I don't understand it. I think it was bonehead to do. But I can assure you that there were people in agreement with him. He was just the only one who balls to the wall paid to have an article put out, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't agree with it.
Yeah.
But if you want to compare oranges to oranges, the life, history, legacy of policy that has oppressed a community of people did not come at the hands of Donald Trump. It came at the hands of Joe Biden. When you sit people who disagree in this studio politically, but have knowledge of what has transpired, if we just stay on the political conversation, a policy conversation on what has impacted the black community
and the country as a whole.
And I'm right.
Yeah.
We know we're talking about race.
Right.
Okay. If we talk about race and what have and who has had a more negative influence
in terms of racism.
In terms of racism on the black community.
It's hands down Joe Biden policies.
Simple. And so for anybody that want to have that conversation, I encourage you to debate me. I encourage you to have this conversation. I am appalled by anybody who would think otherwise. But what it tells me is you don't know anything. So please, if you want to call the name and raise your hand, John Legend, with your rich ass, and call somebody a racist, the racist is on Pennsylvania Avenue. Hundreds of pieces of paper exist that you can go find. You can go read. It's public. Of policies and initiatives that were totally directed to incarcerate at a really, really great rate. And it is appalling to me to hear anybody, especially somebody who lived it and saw it up close and personal, to call somebody a racist based on how you may heard some come out of their mouths when there is a person who has lived a life of policy and legislative action that has affected a community to such an extent that may never bounce back. Let's be clear. And that rubs me the wrong way, guys. I don't mean no harm. It rubs me to a level that you don't even understand. But I'm not going to ride this. I just want people to read. We opened this whole show today talking about one thing. We have to understand our history. And for us to forget and to close our eyes on legislative action like three strikes and crack versus powder. Remember crack versus powder?
Facts.
I read 5 grams of crack cocaine put you in line to a mandatory sentence. You had to have 500 grams of powder. Who had crack? Who had powder? Powder, you got probation. Slap on the wrist oftentimes. Who had crack? Who had powder? Come on, man. Don't do me like that. Don't challenge me if you're unlearned. Don't call people names if you can't elaborate.
Facts.
The facts are out there. Don't tell me this guy's a racist, but you had dinner with him 13 times. What does that say about you? What does that say about you, Chuck Schumer? What does that say about you, Maxine Waters? What does that say about any of these people, especially the black ones, that have flown across country to kiss this white man's ring to get a check? What does that say about you? Does it talk? Are you a sellout? You took money from a guy who now you woke up and found out he was a racist. How do you sleep at night, Chuck? How do you sleep at night, Corey? Now he's a racist, and I took all that money because I wanted to run for an office, but I didn't care where I got the money from because it wasn't about what I stood for. We'll be back in a moment.
Back to the Don Miller Show on Florida Man Radio.
A long time forgotten, our dreams have just fell by the way.
I love this song. Wusa, we're coming down, guys.
And the good life he promised ain't what she's living today.
Welcome back to the Don Miller Show, where we listen, laugh, and learn. Give us a call if you want to join the conversation. 321-339-1055 is the number to dial. Or you can leave a 30-second open mic. You join the conversation that way as well.
Oh, I love this song. Play that stemmer. Here we go.
She's a good-hearted woman in love with a good time.
I love this one right here, baby boy. Welcome back to the Don Miller Show. Head over to the open mic. Drop us one. Head to the open mic. Drop us one. Go to the app. Download the app. Go to and just follow us and take us everywhere you go. Listen.
And share the app with your friends.
Yeah, you got to share. You can share the app just by pushing a button.
Mm-hmm.
And that way people can
make
just
it
take
real
the
easy
show.
For
coming
you.
Up 2 p.m. Eastern Time, the Shannon Burke Show right here on Florida Man Radio. Great conversation today. Shannon Burke Show is always loaded. Just always loaded, always great quality conversation, 2 p.m. Eastern Time right here on the Don Miller Show on the Florida Man Radio Network. I'm on this coffee, guys. Shannon Burke, followed by Jesse Kelly, and then in the morning, Bubba the Love Sponge.
We've been having some pretty good shows lately. Yeah. I've enjoyed Bubba's shows the last couple.
So this Friday, 2024, April 26th. Leesburg, downtown Leesburg. It's Bike Fest, Leesburg Bike Fest. The Shannon Burke Show will be there this Friday, 2 p.m. at Bike Fest in Leesburg, Florida. It's a great, great, great weekend in Leesburg. Last year you went, right?
Mm-hmm. I've been a couple of years.
And it's in Lake County, Florida. It's put on by Discover Lake County. Friday's performers on the stage will be Low Cash, Saturday night, Sugar Ray will be performing. And, of course, Frankie Ballard will be on Sunday.
Not Frankie Beverly.
Frankie Ballard. Yeah, I heard somebody, and I think Heather thought they said Frankie Valley, and I thought they said Frankie Beverly, but it's actually Frankie Ballard. So, good. Look, if you're over in Leesburg, this Friday, the Shannon Burke Show will be broadcasting live from beautiful Leesburg, Florida. I'm going to probably go over there when I get off the air. So I think, yeah. You went last year. You wore your boots, remember?
No.
Yes, you did. You wore your boots.
I wore my boots the first year.
Okay, last year you didn't wear boots?
Mm-hmm. I lost my boots.
Yeah, okay. You lost them?
Yeah, when I moved.
So you need some boots.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, if you're listening to Skip over at Skip's Western Outfitters.
Yeah, facts.
Two convenient locations. Had you seen my
boots? If you're listening, Geoff, go buy D'Amico some boots.
What'd you say?
Score some points.
I know you had some boots. I ain't never seen them.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, are you kidding me? So D'Amico lost her boots in the move?
Yeah. Mm. Actually lost quite a couple of things in my move.
Really?
Important things?
Yeah. Clothes, actually, mostly. Mm. I got some clothes missing out of camp.
But some of them clothes probably it was okay to lose because you still got some clothes from college.
Vintage.
So what are you saying? Just because I can fit in my clothes from college, you mad?
No, you
still got flannel shirts from college.
You don't be mad.
I ain't mad at you. I just don't think that. I think that Murray State shirt, the Racers, Go Racers shirt.
No, I don't still wear that. I have it, but I don't still wear it because it was not quality material.
Yeah, they got holes in it.
Yeah.
Go Racers. Again, give us a call.
It looked like it's 1980s.
Yeah, sure do. 321-339-1055 is the number. We're going to hold off on them for a minute, Stedman, and just kind of – I got a couple things I wanted to hit on.
You want to turn the corner before you hit them?
Yeah.
Because, you know, the current open mics are not going to be on the corner conversation.
Hey, let's check out some open mics. Yeah, you're right.
Good morning, my friend. How are you today? Look, well, you guys are talking about Donald Trump. Look, Donald Trump, you know, in 1989, he did an interview about the Central Park Five, and he said that they raped a woman, which they didn't. And he have never apologized for that. He still think those kids should be hanged. Now, again, look at his detail, security detail around him. No black, all white.
First of all, hold on. Let me just get that. Donald Trump does not pick his Secret Service detail. They are assigned by him. That is a governmental entity. Stop looking for that. Go ahead.
Good afternoon, guys. I'm glad you guys have Polly on the show because you need that opposite opinion, you know, but Holly don't hold to his beliefs. If you're a diehard Democrat, just say I'm a diehard Democrat. I'll never vote Republican. First, come up with all these excuses and say you won't vote for Trump, but then you go out and have a drink with him, but you think he's a racist. It don't make no sense.
Greg in Niceville, last time, I promise. You need to look up all the things Joe Biden has said in the past. Talking about, I don't want my kids going to a jungle with all them other kids. I'm talking about busing. It's crazy. He's on record being a racist, but Donald Trump's the bad guy. All right.
On the subject of John Legend calling Trump a racist, let's talk about his wife. John Legend's wife. She's not racist, but she had creepy, cryptic, pedophile messages on her Twitter that she deleted. But people have copies of them talking about toddlers and tears, little girls make me want to put myself in jail. Like, what? Like, she's a creep. Mm. Like, you need to be worried about your wife, bro.
Hey, Don Miller and everyone. This is Darian from Kissimmee. You don't remember what Joe Biden was saying before. You ain't black if you didn't vote for him. And remember, black kids can be just as smart as white kids. Joe should know best, I guess, you know? Beetle, beetle.
So that's what Joe Biden said.
Those are his words. Those are his words. Again, regarding quickly, as we turn to Secret Service detail, it's amazing when people just look for something. Yeah. Donald Trump is not picking his Secret Service detail. Stop. That I assure you that he's not saying I don't want any black guys on my detail because he's not picking his detail. And if at this juncture, if he said that, it would get out. Okay, let's stop, man. It's just amazing, right? But the unlearned can call and engage as well. We don't have a problem with the unlearned. The simple fact that they're just unlearned. Give us a call, 321-339-1055. It's just amazing to me when you don't like someone, how you just like, I got to find something else. He don't even wear black shoes. You know what I mean? Like, come on with this nonsense. He don't even wear black shoes, right? When's the last time you saw him in a black suit? Oh, wow. Let's stop, man. Let's do better, man. We got to do better to be better, man. You know, education changes lives, right? Allegedly. Mm. Education makes people better. Allegedly. I have been saying this for a long time. And for those people, those parents who can afford to send their children up to Columbia at the $80,000 or whatever it is clip, yay for you. But guess what? What is it really doing? Is it really making them more employable? Mm. If you go look at what some of these young people are studying, you could drive down I-75 with the windows open and throw money out. You may be helping somebody more so doing that than sending your child $80,000 to some of these schools. What is education? What is school for? Tamika, you went to school and graduated. What is school for? Young fella, you went to college. What is school for? Stedman went to college. What is school for? The fact of the matter is, school ain't what it used to be. Mm. I have met more educated, ignorant-ass people in my life. The astute ain't astute no more. Mm. What is school for? I want to play a clip, and I want you guys to put on your damn thinking caps, right? Because that person with that master's degree that's working at my Starbucks still mess up my coffee sometimes. Tamika Page, right? Listen, are we being bamboozled? Let's listen to this.
Is school for? Feel free to call me slow, but I spent 16 years going to school, and I still don't know. When I finished, I didn't know how to do my own taxes, purchase a home, or apply for a loan. I didn't know a thing about investments, building credit, or getting a job. I graduated at the top of my class, and what did I have? This fancy diploma to sit at home with. But luckily, they did teach me some important skills, like factoring trinomials and how mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell. I'm so happy I remember the Pythagorean theorem, because it helped me a lot. Okay, I'm lying. Let me stop. Because all the stuff they taught me, truthfully, I forgot. We need reading, writing, and some arithmetic. That's fair. The metamorphic and igneous rocks are more important than self-care. The biggest predictor for success is self-control and emotional health. Then why the heck aren't we taught how to handle stress, bullies, or rejection? How about anxiety or depression? You know, skills we need for our entire lives. But hey, at least I can name all the battles that happened in the Civil War. I ask one more time. What is school for?
Thank you so much, everybody.
Don, I hate that argument.
Okay, go for it.
So the reason why I don't like that argument is because everything he described is supposed to be taught at home. It's supposed to be foundational things that your mother and father teach you as well as outside. But then people are going to say, well, mom and dad are not at home, so then we got to give it to the government. But in my mind, that's a cop-out. That's a complete cop-out because he's talking about taxes and everything that your mom and dad are doing. But school's meant to be passing down knowledge that is practical and fundamental to the to your next career job. If you want to go somewhere further than just being a mailman, shout out to all my mailmen. I appreciate y'all. But if you want to be something greater than yourself, then you're gonna have to know things outside of living fundamentally.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I like that.
Simple. Okay.
I like that. I like that response.
Okay.
I like that response.
I think it's hogwash.
I like that response.
I think it's hogwash.
Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you jump your ass out there to engage fundamentally, right?
Yeah.
And then you leave after 4 years.
after 4 years.
No, correct me if I'm wrong, it's to me, it sounds like what he's saying, mm-hmm. the educational part should be whatever your career aspects are.
Right. Yeah.
The education should be helping you build those skill set, that mm-hmm. knowledge in terms mm-hmm. of your career path.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's what he's saying.
That's, I mean, did any, I get wrong?
Pretty much,
but
pretty
like,
much, pretty, any pretty much situation.
Him. Yeah.
I could go out here in this grass right out here with a shovel mm-hmm. and just start digging. Mm-hmm. And I could dig for the next hour and 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm going to have a deep ass hole. Right?
Mm.
And I come on back in here. It's a hole out there. When you see these young folk go to these colleges for 4 years, and the ones who do graduate, which ain't all of them,
mm-hmm.
the amount of money that they owe.
That's a problem.
They will never, ever.
But again,
wait. Recoup.
Mm-hmm.
Is an education.
No, I think about education different than what you think about education. Okay, so in my mm-hmm. mind.
Because what you said, young man, was brilliant.
In my mind, education should be educating a person in their career path. That doesn't necessarily mean that you need to go to a university. So if you're going to be a electrician, mm-hmm. let's say, education mean you need to be educated in that career path.
Mm-hmm.
You still need to know the fundamentals yeah. of that career, but also you need to know, be into an apprenticeship program. Mm,
yep.
You should be learning that skill from somebody. Like just back in the old days, you know how they had the apprentice and the teacher.
Yeah,
yeah, I do believe that we should be engaging in that way. But what I see is wrong with our educational system as it is. We send everybody down the same pathway,
yeah.
and the same pathway is not right for everyone. If you're going down a career path and you know the cost of that education, will that career path pay for your cost? We're not having that kind of conversation at the beginning.
Not at all.
Yeah.
And that should be done, in my opinion, in high school and
Facts.
Middle school.
Facts.
You can identify what the gifts of a student is very early.
Yeah.
And then we can start to, if we have good counselors, if we put counselors in place to really do some counseling for our kids, we can start to navigate them towards their strength, their gifts, and then their career path is built on that.
Yep.
And then you start teaching them about the cost of that path.
Facts.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All right, so you're investing in your education for a particular career path.
Yeah.
Are you going to reap the benefits? Are you going to recover from that career path what you've invested in it? And we should start teaching them that type of thinking in middle school.
Facts.
Well,
and in high school.
No, you're right. And I think in high school, the conversation about career path should actually be a class.
Absolutely.
That should be a prerequisite class.
It should be a core competency.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. Career path. Okay.
Absolutely.
And if you had a career path class,
mm-hmm.
you'd be amazed at how many people would not sign up for the money grab called college.
You would see more people towards trades.
Absolutely.
Yes.
If these young people knew that they could make more money as an electrician than having
a welder or
a plumber.
Exactly.
Okay? If these, and I don't think they know, Stedman. I don't think these young people in high school know
mm-hmm.
that you can leave here
mm-hmm.
and go to a program
mm-hmm.
and pay $4,000.
Right.
And get into an apprenticeship.
Right.
They're starting to recognize it now, though, more than ever.
More of them are. Yeah.
I'm telling you right now,
because
AI will never fix your toilet.
Absolutely.
I'm telling you right now, okay?
Absolutely.
AI ain't going to fix your toilet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay? There's a lot of things AI can fix.
Yeah.
AI ain't fixing the toilet.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Don, not only that, but a lot of tech jobs and high-end jobs that are here now are not going to be around
in the next 20 years.
They're
going to go
away. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you're going to need to know how to use your hands, guys.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But again, there should be a class that's kind of prepared. And look, come on. I know some kids that ain't the brightest kids.
Mm.
And they even got them kids lining up to go to the money grab called college. I know a young man. I wanted to tell his mama so bad, don't send that boy to college. That boy needs to be using his hands.
That's what you hear?
Huh?
goes and to, in many cases, they're good at it.
And, yeah. he, and he went to college and he failed miserably.
I did.
Huh?
I think you...
I ain't talking about you. God, I'm not talking about you, okay? Mm-hmm. You did all right, son.
Yeah,
okay?
I did all right.
But the point is, I sent this boy to college. Boy, went to college 2 years, failed miserably. He owes $47,000.
Oh, no.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I knew he wasn't going to make it. I knew it. I wanted to say, hey, you know, he's not going to make it. But you can't tell nobody that their kid ain't going to make it. And she was like, I don't know why I didn't recognize it. I did.
She was looking through the lens of emotions.
Again, look, college is a giant money grab. Mm-hmm. What is it really for, especially now when you look at the wages? Mm. When you can go into a program and learn how to be a plumber.
Mm-hmm.
That's what does that take? A year, year and a half max?
Mm-hmm.
And come out of there. What's a plumber? What's a union plumber getting in a big city? If you're a union plumber, call me, 321-339-1055. If you a union plumber up in Destin, Fort Walton Beach, what are you guys making? What's a painter in the union making? Okay? What's a welder in the union making? More than the kid who graduated at the top of his class from some of these bogus-ass colleges. I promise you that. Mm-hmm. It's a quality of life thing, guys. Mm. Okay? And hey, let me tell you what's amazing when you make $37 an hour and you don't have student debt.
Mm-hmm.
When you make $37 an hour and you don't have student debt, that's life-changing. But if you get to $37 an hour and you still paying somebody $815 a month for student debt, that knocks your pay structure down significantly.
About half.
So the point is, guys, listen to me. Let's talk about life-changing scenarios. And I'm telling you, I know they're bringing these people over this border, but y'all better figure out a way to make this money work.
Mm-hmm.
The fact is, college is a giant money grab. You're going to go there. You're going to enjoy yourself. You're probably going to pledge something. And that's going to throw a lot of stuff off. And then you're going to come out in the real world, and you're going to do what I do. Put $15 worth of gas in your car. I'm telling you what you're going to do. $15 worth of gas. Let's go to the phone lines.
Hey, caller, you're on the Don Miller Show. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hey, good morning. Lee, I'm down in Kendall today.
Okay.
In South Miami. So, in regards, I just kind of picked up the last end. How y'all doing, by the way? I'm sorry.
Hey, my
good,
friend.
How are you
How's
doing?
The weather down there in Miami?
It's hot, man. It's hot. And I can't understand nobody.
I hear you. Go ahead.
So, you were talking in regards to, like, you know, plumbers. And mm-hmm. they make fantastic money up north where those unions are. But I'm a heavy equipment operator. I used to be a boat captain. I spoke to you a couple weeks ago when that thing ran into the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it seems for the past 10 to 15 years, the wages have been stagnant down here, man. I mean, everything is getting so expensive, and the wages just stay the same, man. You're looking at, like, you're running a $250,000 piece. I'm running a $250,000 piece of equipment and making, you know, $30 to $45 an hour, and it should be $60 to $65.
Hey, hold on, hold the hell on.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. You $30 an hour. Let me ask you a question real quick. $30 mm-hmm. an hour, right?
Yeah, go ahead.
How much are you lifting the equipment? You carrying it around with you?
No.
So you setting your ass down all day getting $35. That's good money, boy.
Yeah, but you come on down here, Don Miller. You try to rent something.
Yeah, you're right.
For $2,000.
You're right.
And you ain't gonna find it.
You're right.
Anywhere. Uh-huh. Gas is. I just put fuel. I'm borrowing a car. Mm-hmm. And I got to drive to Kendall,
uh-huh.
And my diesel eats up so much fuel.
Yeah, I hear you.
Are you a business owner?
I am not currently. I got out of that.
So let me just say this. You're right, because, again, up north, you would be making $60 an hour.
Yes, you would.
I have no question about it. Mm-hmm. And, again, because of the unions, correct?
Yes, sir. That's from what I hear. I've never been in one, but.
Yeah, that's what actually. Right, well, thank you so much, man. We appreciate the information. Get out of the sun, man. All right, thank you so much. Let's head to break. When we come back. We're going to continue the conversation, maybe turn the corner. Got a lot to talk about. You're listening to The Don Miller Show.
Back to The Don Miller Show on Florida Man Radio.
Welcome back to the Don Miller Show, where we listen, laugh, and learn right here on the Florida Man Radio Network, baby. 103.1 FM. Give us a call. 321-339-1055 is the number to dial. Wait, you don't know who this is? LP, do you know who this is?
I can lie.
I have no idea who this is.
Listen to the voice. Let me give you a minute.
Just tell me who it is, so we can turn it off.
Tennessee Whiskey.
Oh,
yeah, I know the song.
Oh,
this is her boy.
I just never listened to the intro that long.
Okay, I didn't know that was him, though. I didn't know that was him.
Oh, good.
Is that on the...
You don't know his voice? Play his voice a little bit more.
I don't know voices.
So it's actually, it's him with Timberlake.
Now you hear the second voice.
Wow. Yeah, I remember this song. Wow.
Yeah. Chris Stapleton.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Chris Stapleton.
Right,
I love me some Chris Stapleton.
Hey, let me just turn the corner real quick. Stedman, I just want to take a nap. I need a pillow.
You sound like Joe Biden.
I need a My Pillow.
There you go.
Can I get a My Pillow in the studio?
We're having a lighting moment.
I'm so sleepy right now. Listen, go ahead.
Where you going? I don't know where you're going.
Just stay with me. Stay with me. Let's go to the phone lines first. We got a caller, I think.
We got a caller, Stedman. Hey, caller, you on the Don Miller Show. What's your name and where are you calling from? Oh, you have to call us back.
Yeah, he dropped out.
Sorry about that. Anyway, LP, I don't know what Don's doing right now. Did you get the article of the Tennessee teachers, the new law that was passed in Tennessee?
Yeah, but I don't want to talk about that.
What? Right. No.
Oh, no, please, no.
The Tennessee, what's it about?
All right, Don, I want to talk about it.
I'm curious. No, hell no. I want to talk about the plane crash in Alaska.
Wait, what?
Yeah, it was a plane crash in Alaska. Just really terrible. And my...
See, you was over there thinking, I don't know where you're going.
My compassion fatigue is getting really bad. Because I'm going to tell y'all why. I just want to say this real quick. My compassion fatigue is taking over my body.
Mm.
Because I'm watching TV the other day, and there's a plane crash in Alaska. Stedman, I need you to stay with me on this one because you might understand this. There's a plane crash in Alaska, Fairbanks, Alaska, Stedman, right? And I see this news story. And the plane crashed and a couple of people lost their lives. Two people was on board and it crashed into the river outside of Fairbanks, Alaska. And the people were standing on the riverside. They was crying and it was devastated about this C-54 Douglas DC-4 military plane crashed into the water. And listen to this. Play that, Stedman.
We are monitoring some breaking news right now. This is out of Alaska. So officials there are saying an airplane has crashed into the Tanana River. It's just a few miles away from the Fairbanks International Airport for those familiar with the area. Alaska State Troopers identifying this aircraft right now as a Douglas. It's a DC-4. Right now, we know that at least two people were on board. State, federal, and local authorities right now responding to the scene of that crash. We will continue to monitor that and bring you updates as soon as we get them.
Okay, now let me just say this. This is when I'm struggling with my compassion fatigue.
Mm.
Breaking news. They break into a TV show, and they tell you that it's a plane that crashed into the river. Then they tell you it was a DC-4. Anybody want to know the last time they made a DC-4?
I think 1960 or something. Because it was introduced in 1942.
They retired it. They retired the last one in like 1990.
Mm. That was close.
Stedman. If you get on a 60L airplane, that's on you guys.
Yeah.
Am I wrong for saying that?
No.
If you get on a 60-year-old airplane, 60, yeah. My age, mm-hmm. right?
It's like getting on Don Miller, having Don fly somewhere.
Yeah, like take me, Don, getting on my back, having me carry you to the car. We ain't getting far, okay? We gonna fall down, right? So, again, don't break into my show to tell me that a plane just crashed, a 60, might have been 70-year-old plane, yeah, right?
Definitely, depending on...
A DC-4. Tell me something about a 737 MAX. You know what I mean? I'm not, if I go to the airport and the plane is older than me, I'm renting a car.
Taking that drive.
I'm going to rent the car. I'm like, oh, no, I'm good. This is all y'all got.
Road trip.
This is all y'all got right here.
I mean, they are in Alaska.
Again, though, D'Amico.
They probably have all the retired planes out there in Alaska.
Yeah, I'm not getting on that plane. People, man, come on, man. Y'all just pushing my compassion to the limit. Mm. You are pushing my compassion to the limit.
But what if they're like history buffs?
I don't. Then guess what? Then when you get on that 70-year-old airplane,
yeah,
then you need to hug your family. I'm tired. I'm tired. I'm sick and tired of sick and tired.
Yeah, they did find no survivors.
You are pushing my compassion.
Condolences to that family.
Yeah, condolences to y'all. Right.
They should, ain't nobody in control. A Don Miller compassion.
No, man.
He responsible that, for his
I
own
hope they signed a waiver.
Compassion for
sign a waiver if you get on a 70-year-old airplane,
don't,
right?
Don't worry about
all
it.
All I'm saying is tragedy.
In his compassion.
It's tragedy. It is the worst tragedy scenario, right?
Yeah.
But it was 70 years old. Yeah. Am I wrong? I'm telling Don Miller, you just don't care about nobody but yourself.
That's
what it sounds like.
It's emotional about everything.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying,
Because I might one day want to fly in like...
You're overloading me with this. Listen,
turn your TV off.
Don't break
you're
in on my
yourself.
Show with this.
All right, but Don, hear me out.
Go ahead.
I do have like a kind of a history, military history buff type person.
God.
So I could see the pull, the pull for somebody wanting to fly in something that was
don't
flown
you think
in
they
World
was probably
II.
Just trying to get to point A to point B? Do you really think they gave any thought to how old
no.
the plane was?
I don't think
was?
They did. I don't think they did. But
I'm pretty
this
sure
is,
they did.
This is
okay,
how
hold on.
Just and got on the plane.
Let's do a survey. Let's do a Don Miller compassion survey. Stedman, would you get on a 70-year-old airplane?
Hell to the no.
Would you get on a 70-year-old airplane? Callers, let's head over to the phone lines. We got some callers. Hey, you on the Don Miller Show. What's your name? Where are you calling us from? Hello?
I guess he won because he gone.
He dropped again.
Again, man, 70-year-old plane. We get on the plane. You break into my show. I'm in the middle of my show. No, breaking news.
Trying to watch my stories.
All I'm saying is this. What are y'all doing to us, man? I'm sad that these people didn't met their maker.
Yeah.
But if you decide, young fella, that you want to get on the plane.
I would.
A 70-year-old plane. Swing by the funeral home. Go in the showroom with me because you can pick out your casket right now. I'm running a special.
A good special?
I'm running a nice right. special, okay?
All
right, I got a Batesville premium for you right now because you're going to be... If they find anything, okay?
But I would have
nonsense.
Gone out,
like, stop.
I would have gone out on a historic plane that flew in World War II, most likely.
I'm shot. I'm burnt out. I'm burnt out on a lot of things, right? I'm burnt out on a lot. Is it okay to just get to a point where you like, what are we doing? Huh? I weighed myself on the scale the other day. Meek, I'm 20 pounds, 18 pounds up.
Mm.
Could you tell?
that's like a woman saying that. Do I look fat in this dress? Yeah. I'm not answering
I'm
that 18 question.
18 pounds heavier.
I'm not answering that
huh?
question.
Well, you don't really want to know her answer.
I'm 18 pounds up, but
you
I just
can't
know
handle
you can,
the truth.
You can't tell I'm 18 pounds up. Huh?
No.
What did I just say? I'm not responding to that. Hey, caller, you're on the Don Miller Show. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hi. Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Okay. I don't want to get on a plane that old, but how do I know it's that old by the propellers?
Thank you. Nobody's, when you're.
That's
when,
the only thing, I don't know.
It's still got ashtrays on it.
I know that.
Yeah. No, when you book
on the outside. inside. I'm talking about that's on the inside looking out. I'm talking about the outside looking in. How do I know it's that old?
Exactly. When you book your flight, you're not on your ticket like, how old is this plane? Nobody. Who does that? Like,
no, I don't.
Nobody does that. Come on.
I can tell you how you know.
Because I've been on them little transport planes that fly you back over to another plane.
And those are scary to me.
Them little, if it says, if it says DC anything, it's too old.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, see, they're not that. Yeah, I've been educated. I appreciate it, you guys.
Yeah, it says DC anything.
You educated me.
It says DC anything. It's too old. You on the Don Miller Show. What's your name? Where are you calling us from?
Hey, Don. KP calling back again. I'm a former AMP mechanic, and we used to work on a lot of those R1820s. And, if those engines are properly maintained, the proper documentation. Now, if there's an airframe catastrophic failure, understandably.
Mm-hmm.
But if that was pilot error that brought that plane down, that's another thing. I'm sure the NTSB will be all over that. But most of those older airplanes that I've worked on, the Grumman A216 Albatross that the Navy used to fly back during after World War II, a lot of those airplanes, if those Pratt & Whitney engines are well maintained, they are good motors, and they don't have an issue. The issue is when we factor the human error of a bad pilot or not good maintenance, that protocol speaks for itself.
So you would fly on a 70-year-old plane?
I have flown on 70-year-old DC-3, Douglas DC-3.
Wow.
But if the maintenance, if I know that the people at that depot are performing the proper maintenance, you got B-17s flying around, you have B-29s flying around with the Air Force out of Texas going to air shows. I mean, those engines have to be maintained no different than a turbine or a jet or any other engine. They have to have their maintenance protocol has to be within the books and the schedule.
Don't run away. I have a question for you.
Sure.
So even some of the newer planes, if they're not maintained, can't they do the same? Wouldn't we end tragically as well?
What was it, the 737 that lost the door?
Yeah.
It's maintenance.
Yeah.
And the maintenance has to be documented. I'm telling you, so in the military, when we worked on a jet or a helicopter or anything, the toolbox has to be inventoried before that aircraft can fly.
Mm.
If you're home or you're on vacation and there's a tool missing and you were the last one to sign out that toolbox, guess what? They're going to call you and they're going to find out where that pair of pliers were, or safety wire pliers or whatever it is, and they will hold you accountable until that aircraft cannot fly until they locate that tool.
Wow.
Now, whether that protocol has changed since I've been out of the military, I don't know.
Right.
But back in the day, that's the way it was.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for calling. We appreciate you.
I still ain't getting on it.
Yeah.
So the authorities have
We have another caller. We'll come back to you. Hey, caller, you're on the Don Miller Show. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hey, this is TK, and I'm calling from Montgomery, Alabama.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, I just want to tell Mr. Miller, I'm a high-voltage lineman supervisor. If I had 12 more linemen right now, I'd still be 20 linemen short, and these boys top out at $60 an hour.
Whoa, slow down. Hold on. Wait. So you are a high-voltage lineman supervisor, correct? Mm.
That is correct.
And you're in Montgomery, Alabama.
That is right. I work for a local, I work for the Southern Company.
Okay, the Southern Company, big corporation. And so you are short of manpower, but if you had it, they would be topping out at $60 an hour.
And some are depending. If you work off a helicopter, you're going on up into the hundreds of dollars an hour.
Wow.
If I had 12 good certified linemen right now, I'd still be 20 linemen short, just on one project.
Interesting.
Wow. See? And this is what I'm saying is, there is a significant need for people like that.
Mm.
The new young man that day and time, Mr. Don, does not want to work. They don't want to get wet. They don't want to get hot. They want to, live in the mama's basement and play video games.
How long you been doing that?
37 years.
Ooh, 37?
Yeah, I used to work for FP&L, Florida Power and Light, when I lived in Daytona.
Mm-hmm.
Got a job with the Southern Company because I got an elderly mother I came home to look after.
Mm-hmm.
I've been doing line work 37 years. They go to apprenticeship school, an OJT, and they can turn out as a lineman. If he's good with his hands and pays attention, he can turn out as a top-out lineman within 4 years.
You know what? Uh-huh. So you shoot it. You in Montgomery, Alabama. You rich. Your money going a long way, baby boy.
I live very comfortable. I don't tell you, I found y'all in Holly Holman and Devin and that pretty lady right there.
Yeah,
Tamika, y'all. I'm a Caucasian male, 68 years old, and y'all take it to the barn, buddy. I'll make it happen.
All right, thank you so much, man. We appreciate it. All right.
Take care, buddy. Y'all bless. Have
all right, be careful out there, man.
Stay well. Stay
hydrated.
You got it, brother.
Take care. Let's go back to the phone line. You know what's funny, right? $60 an hour, and they ain't got nobody to work.
Short.
Come on. Y'all know what I do for $60 an hour? I climb my ass up that pole and be like, where you want me to put it, boss? Okay? Huh? Where you want me to put it? Where the plug at? $60 an hour, and they can't get people.
And that's amazing.
Because he said, this is what he said, people don't want to work.
Yep.
So if you don't want to work, but let me tell you something. $60 an hour in Montgomery, Alabama. Well,
cost of living is pretty low.
Because Montgomery, your mama just moved from Montgomery.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and $60 an hour in Montgomery? Boy, you out here balling, big ball of shot calling. In Montgomery? Oh, man, think about that. What's the average rent? What's the average rent in Montgomery, Alabama? Okay, just think about this, right? $60 an hour, you work a 10-hour shift, that's $600 a day. You're probably taking home a little over $400 a day, okay? In 10 days, so you killing the game, right?
It's about $1,200.
You killing the game. Let's head over to the phone lines. Hey, you on the Don Miller Show. What's your name? Where are you joining us from? I'm going to Montgomery.
That's right, LP.
Hey, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Having phone issues.
Oh, okay. Oh, man. Give us a call. 321-339-1055. That Jonathan Morris said that's $2,400 a week, not counting overtime.
Ooh. And you're most likely going to have to do overtime, right?
In that field. You're going to do some overtime. But think about it. $2,400 a week in Montgomery, Alabama. That's a lot of money. And they can't get enough people to work. That's crazy, man. I'm telling you, a lot of this is these young people don't want to work.
Yeah.
You know? A lot of them don't want to work. Then they want to complain, but they want to go to college and stay on campus, okay, and come back with a bunch of debt while the kid that didn't graduate at the top of the class ride around in a new Escalade. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Man, y'all crazy, man. I'm telling you right now, they better pay attention because he just said something really heavy. They ain't got enough people to work. If I'm in Montgomery, think about this.
Yeah, you're making $115,000.
Huh?
You pretty much making $115,000.
I'm gonna pay all my bills on my first check.
Right. The rest is overflow.
I'm gonna pay all my bills on my first check, Stebbins, and then I'm gonna go right over to Mingles.
I'm getting every what? Only man.
I'm gonna go right over to Mingles. I'm going right over to Mingles.
Mingles?
That's the strip club.
Oh.
Yeah. As soon as I get my first check, all my bills gonna be paid.
Lord.
Man. I'm gonna pay all my bills on my first check, weekly. Huh? I'm gonna go right over to Mingles, and they gonna know me by my name. Hey, Don, welcome back.
If you did some investment, and you'd be really balling.
Come on,
why you putting it? Because you ain't getting no return on that stripper. I'm
telling you, I'd go to Club Boomerang. I'm gonna just make my rounds in Montgomery. That kind of money in the middle of nowhere. And they got a casino. They got a big casino. What's the name of the casino in Montgomery?
Harris.
Is it Harris?
No.
Let's check out some open mics. Hey.
Allegedly, Donald Trump keeps his white socks in a different drawer than the black socks.
Beetle, beetle.
Whatever politician you vote for, I don't think you can agree on everything they stand for. So you have to see the person as their character, and do they seem like they really care about the people?
Morning, y'all. Lando, Fort Walton Beach. Hey, school,
should be, what school should be for is to teach you to find out what you need to know. In other words, you don't know something. School's supposed to give you the tools to do the research to figure out where do I need to go to find out what I need to know. Not, yeah, you get your basics. You need to know that. But that's what school is for. It's supposed to teach you how to learn, not memorize stuff. Because once you got that basic skill, you're good.
Hey, y'all. It's Geoff again. Wow. Dusty Macchiato. All day yesterday, man, you were putting your foot in your mouth. But what you just said about those attributes and qualities should be taught at home is spot on. Man. I'm wondering if Don looked over at you and just thought, I'm proud of him.
No, he didn't.
That's the best thing
you said, bud. Me too, me too.
That should be the introductory class to whatever major you're going to follow is how much are you expected to make? Where do you think you are going to live, et cetera, before you even start spending all this money?
I agree.
Best class I ever took in high school was a home economics class that taught me how to balance a checkbook, put a savings account together, and come up with a household budget plan. They did it for 2 years and then they stopped. It was an experiment. It was the best class I ever took.
Hey, y'all. It's Geoff again. Wow. Dusty Macchiato. Geoff.
Sean and Jax here. Growing up, college wasn't an option. I learned trades in high school, like automotive welding, carpentry. Here I am later, working for myself as a custom woodworker in waterfront homes, big high-rises for football players, to doctors, to some of these IT guys that went to college. But I don't have none of that debt, and everything I own is paid for. Be-doo-be-doo.
Hey, Don, you're 20 pounds over, man. I don't know what you're worried about. Man, that 20 pounds is nothing but solid muscle.
Hey, caller, you're on the Don Miller Show. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hey, this is Josh from Virginia.
Hey, Josh from Virginia.
I was wanting to call to see how I could get a hold of that lineman guy. I'm willing to transfer.
You know what I'm saying?
No, that's real, right?
I'm willing to make some more money and move somewhere else.
We need to start making connections. Can
if he's listening, are you a lineman?
No, but I'll learn.
He said, I'll learn.
He's like, yeah, I'm lying right now. I'm a lying man. Okay. Hey, listen.
I'm a tree climber. But
First steps. All right, listen, do me a favor. Shoot us your information at Don at the Don Miller Show.
Don.com. Don Miller Show.
Yep.
All right, I'm going to do that.
Thanks,
thank
man.
You, buddy.
Thank you.
Yeah, but he's got to go to school for like 4 years, right?
No, that's probably a year and a half project.
Right. Facts.
You can get a year and a half. You
all
get
right, 18 months, man, and move to Montgomery.
Yeah, right. We just got a message from one of the listeners who said that they have a relative in Montgomery, Alabama, who lives great on $30,000 a year.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's about the average cost of living. Average.
And so if you make it $100,000 in Montgomery, you getting busy.
Well, you got your feet up.
Absolutely. Oh, wow. Well, I guess we learned something about something very important today is that we all should be moving to Montgomery.
I was looking at Texas. Now Montgomery look nice. Now.
You would do well in Montgomery.
Really?
Yeah. You would do really well in Montgomery.
Yeah,
there's a ratchet section.
Oh, come on, Doug.
Definitely.
Wind Creek is the casino in Alabama.
Yeah, they got a ratchet section. You'll be over there riding around.
I'll have some fun, but I mean, I'm still looking for traditional
ratchetness.
See, Don, you like the women with edge.
Dusty Macchiato, listen to me. Listen to me, Dusty Macchiato. Thank you for that.
That's his new name. What is this
Dusty
new?
Macchiato. That's Geoff. That's Geoff.
Dusty Macchiato.
Geoff came up with that?
Yeah, I love good, though. Wow. I can't win. I love you, Gio. Now look what you did, Gio.
Dusty Macchiato.
Starbucks need to make that a...
Oh, what you mean? I'm about to go over there trying to get a trademark.
Mm-hmm. Dusty Macchiato. That should be your new rap Dusty name.
You know how many people would turn that off?
Hey, man. Coming up next, Dusty Macchiato.
Oh, my God. That sounds like a stripper name.
Yeah. She would do well, name. Too.
Male stripper name. I come out there ashy.
That's a part of your outfit. You know what I'm
saying? They making it rain with lotion.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Just you need sparkles. Who needs sparkles when he got ash? Make it rain with Jergens.
My signature
travel packs.
Cocoa butter. Cocoa butter. Making it rain with cocoa butter.
Oh, my God.
Hey, we got to run the break. We come back. We are going to be going into a segment where it is...
Wellness check with D'Amica.
Yeah.
What's your wellness 911?
Wellness 911 with D'Amica. She's going to hit us with the D'Amica Page segment, Wellness 911. So get back, take a piece of pen and a piece of paper because you're going to probably get a nugget. You can also realize that D'Amica Page is an expert in fitness and nutrition.
Legitimate.
So coming up next, Wellness Check 911 with D'Amica Page. We'll be right back.
If you're looking for a real radio station.
Yeah, baby.
Then you've come to the right place. We always say what they can't and what they won't. Why? Because we're as real as it gets. We are Florida Man Radio. Back to the Don Miller Show on Florida Man Radio.
Wellness 111, what's your emergency? Living
my life like it's golden. Living my life like it's wellness golden. Check. Living my life like wellness it's check. Like wellness 911, what's your emergency? Get some tips and strategies to help you engage in a fit and healthy lifestyle. From what's happening in the fitness and health industry to what's happening at home, we'll navigate the best options to live your best life. I recently received a question. Quite frankly, it's a common question, you guys, when it comes to the fitness and wellness journey. It says, hello, D'Amica. I have a personal wellness 911. I am currently on a fitness and health journey, and I am finally making some great strides. However, when I am around friends and family, I am taking 3 steps backwards every weekend. I enjoy getting together with friends on the weekend and periodically spending time with family. But when I'm with them, everything goes out the door. I don't know what to do. Should I make new friends? I can't change my family members, even though all of them eat terribly and struggle with chronic conditions. I would prefer to prevent all of that for myself. I don't know what to do. I have to start over every week. Help. Well, first of all, I want to just say congratulations. Don is on his new fitness journey. So congratulations. Join the gang. But seriously, though, I do want to congratulate you on your fitness journey because you're taking some steps in the right direction. And I also want to congratulate you on the good strides because I think we punish ourselves. We beat ourselves up so much that we don't, acknowledge that you're doing good. You're making progress. So just take it. Acknowledge the progress. Progress is good. You want to strive for progress, not perfection, right?
Thanks.
So I want to start there. Second of all, I want to say this. I do understand where you're coming from. I remember when I was doing bodybuilding and, of course, everything is very regimented, and LP, you know this.
Yes, and I tapped out.
Not only do you have to eat clean, but you have to eat on time. Like you're on a clock. You're eating. You're taking note of what you're eating. You're taking note of how much you're expending in your exercise. So I totally get it. And in that time, LP, my family members gave me such a hard time. You would have thought that I was on crack or something. They gave me such a hard time because I wasn't eating the way I was brought up. Someone even told me because I ain't had no butter in my peas. And they told me you need lubrication. So listen.
No, that's real talk.
So I totally get the whole friends and family. Yeah. It was so I didn't realize it would be that bad.
Yeah.
So I totally get it. So this is my thing to you. First of all, you have to focus on what your personal goals are. Once you lock in on what your personal goals are, then you have to do whatever you can to stay in that space. That's number one. It's not their goals. They're your goals, and you can't expect people to get on board, everybody to get on board on what your personal goals are. So first of all, you just got to make up in your mind, these are my personal goals. You have to value it, understand why you're doing it. If you don't have a really significant why in terms of why you're engaging in this, then you're always going to waver. So you really have to be lock and loaded on your goals. Then next thing is, I would say to you is, listen, friends and family, celebration, going out, that's a part of life. So you have
your
to,
life.
You have to make up in your mind that you are on a lifestyle change. So you need to incorporate those things into your strategy.
Yeah.
So what I tell my people is, if you know you're going to go hang out with friends, let's say, for instance, on Friday night, you hang out with friends. So if you know that you're going to hang out with your friends on Friday, you need to start making preparations that day. So you're not going to have a bunch of carbs or what have you if you know you're going to have some friend time in the that evening. So strategize. So prepare your day for that event. And then the following day, have a strategy. So have strategies around how you eat while you incorporate those times into your day, because that's a part of life. So you want to have a lifestyle strategy.
I got my hair raised.
Okay.
What's your question? Thank you so much. That was beautiful, but I got my hair raised.
Okay.
Stedman.
All right, here we go. Here's the Don Miller twist.
There ain't no twist.
Here it comes.
Here it comes.
First of all,
you
got to be tired of being fat. Okay? You got to get to a point where you're
totally
tired of being fat.
I totally understand what you're saying.
She just hit you with you got to be tired of being fat. I'm tired of being fat. I'm so tired of being fat. I brought my ass in here last week with a whole damn Spanx shirt on, almost fainted.
I'm tired of being fat.
Okay, can we be tired of being fat? Okay.
Can we just say unhealthy?
Yeah. Yeah, fat, unhealthy.
Because I'm on the other end.
Right.
Stephanie, turn that music off. Damn.
Sorry. It's a reflex.
I'm just tired of being fat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You got to be there, right? Tired of being unhealthy.
Sick and tired of being sick and tired.
And then the whole friend thing, guys, because I got a friend named Jay, right?
No. I'm not going to let you beat up on Jay today.
Man, I was like, I ain't drinking no monkey shoulder. And he's just shoving you money. Hey, no monkey shoulder.
Start peer pressure.
I ain't drinking that, man. I don't want that. Right?
Peer pressure, yeah.
And then he was like, you want a glass of wine? I'm like, dude, I'm tired of being fat. So he's slim, so he ain't,
good.
Yeah, here you go. Take this, man. I'm like, take this, here you go.
How many of us have them?
This thing, your friend.
Jay.
Ones we can depend on. Friends.
Jay. It's real tough, man.
How many of us have them?
We got to evaluate.
I agree with that.
You got to have a friendship evaluation moment before you go on a weight loss journey.
Yes.
Yeah, and
you got to have friends that are like, you know what? Since Don,
it's called having a support system.
Trying to slim down.
Yeah.
Let's not drink heavily when he's here.
If they're really your friend.
If they care about you like
that. Since Don trying to slim down, don't meet at the burger joint. You know what I mean?
Really your friend.
Nobody cares.
You know what, though, Don? Sometimes you just have to take control of your inner Jay. And not let him dominate you.
Man, dude, that dude be like, yo, man, what you want to drink? No, I ain't drinking nothing. No, man, I'm on this journey. This is a real journey.
Absolutely. And it's a lifestyle journey.
It's a lifestyle, guys. Yeah. So I got a shirt I've been trying to put on for about 6 months, and I think I'm a focus. I want to wear this shirt.
Mm-hmm.
I want to wear this shirt, and I'm telling you, it's a focus moment. You got to lock in.
You got to lock in.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Man,
it is better when you have friends too. Like I have friends where we go and do things together that we enjoy. And whether it's hiking or I have a couple they're a married couple that I like to hang out, and they do triathlons. I go watch them. Yeah. But just to be in the environment where, you know, where people are active and they are engaged in a healthy lifestyle, I do think you need to have people in your circle that are in alignment with your values as well.
Because I heard one quote. Well, I kind of made it up. It's
he thought I heard a quote, and then he said he made it up.
Facts. But it goes, consistency leads to conviction. Mm-hmm. And after a while, you'll be convicted in your heart when you decide to pick up a burger, and your daily dailies change.
Yeah. We got a caller? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, boy. Hey, caller, you're on the Don Miller Show.
Hey, Don Miller. Hey, Domingo. Hey, LP. What's up, Stedman?
Yeah. Oh, damn. Here we go with this dude.
What are you going to talk about?
Man, get up off me, man. I ain't playing with you.
You have to control
for us. Oh, JK, I was defending you. I wasn't letting him.
I heard you, Domingo. I appreciate you.
But, dude.
Hey, Don, what happened to you last night?
Dude, I said it's my man's birthday. It was Jay turned 68. And
happy belated birthday.
So I'm on my way home, and it's Jay's birthday. So what does a friend do? I make a U-turn.
Right.
And I come back to be with my boy, Jay Kane, Real Rap Kane, right? Mm-hmm. I sit down at the table. They got a whole bottle of Monkey Shoulder on the table.
Ready for you.
I didn't want no Monkey Shoulder. I got a question for you.
You ain't what Monkey Shoulder, but you went and got your own glass.
Yeah, I did. Because, dude,
less calories.
I actually did go get my own glass. You're right. But the point is, you can't tease a hungry dog with a steak. Come on, man. So I sit down, and everybody got a glass in front of them. What, I'm going to sit there like, no, I went and got a glass.
Why not? I do it all the time.
I ain't strong like you.
Okay, all right. So maybe that muscle needs to be strengthened as well.
Okay. Mm. My mental muscle. My mental muscle.
Right, Jay? No, you in the military.
That's accurate.
Okay, all right.
First of all, intestinal fortitude.
So Jay Kane, he amped me up, right? He did it to me last weekend. I went to see him. He amped me up.
He did it.
I go see him.
You put all your personal responsibilities on Jay.
We sitting at the table. I said, hey, I'm going to stop by and see you real quick. We sit at as soon as I sit at the table, he's like, he called the server over, like, get him a glass of wine. No, dog. No, man. I'm like, I ain't drinking, dog.
It's my fault you drunk three glasses.
Oh, three of them. Oh, see, he ain't giving us the context.
Jay, what he's saying is you gave him the first crack. You gave him the first hit of crack.
Jay is the dude who dropped it in the neighborhood.
I got one more question before we go.
Go ahead.
I know the show about this. I got one more question. Yeah. So we was at the vineyard.
Yes.
And you had your wife bring a bottle from the house. That was me too.
How you got to do that, dog? Why you got to do that?
We got to tell the truth, guys.
Why you got to do that? I didn't feel like driving to the house. Why you got to do that? I want to shout her out for that moment.
She's real rap. Okay.
But guess what? And the problem is, I got to admit, Jay did not drink any wine. But he drank 18 martinis.
I drank four.
Bougie. Okay, wait. He drank four martinis. But listen to this, D'Amica. Mm-hmm. Two of them were made by Mike. So a Mike martini is
that,
how
many?
That,
four. That's true. That's four.
Four martinis. Right?
That's right.
Four martinis.
Okay, so I had 10.
Yes, so you had 10 martinis, man. Yes. Come on, man. And you are not a guilt influence. Just be honest.
Okay, so when I was gone for 30 days, you were still drinking.
Yeah, I guess you might be right.
That's the curveball.
You hit me with a curveball. Hey, damn. Hey, listen, tomorrow Jay's going to be on the show. We got a great story we want to tell you about tomorrow. Jay and I ran into what is the most amazing lady we've never seen this before. So tomorrow, Real Rap Kane is going to be on the air with us, of course. It's a great story. I think I told you a little bit about D'Amica.
I'm interested to hear this because it sounds crazy.
Let me just say this. Really, Stedman, when you hear this story, it solved a racial challenge that I had been dealing with.
Okay.
I realized at that moment, I can't wait to tell the story, there are really some white people who deep in their spirit think they black. I'm telling you right now.
They identify as black.
Me and Jay met this lady. And we wasn't offended. Because
I can't tell the story.
We're not gonna tell a story. But there's some people who in their spirit believe who they believe. She identified and did a really good job at it until that moment. So listen, Real Rap Kane is gonna be with us tomorrow. Thank you so much, Jay.
Oh, Jay Hill, I'm out.
Oh. So listen, man, telling you.
Before we get out of here, if you have a question or a situation, send your situation to me at wellness911@damikapage.com. That's wellness911@damikapage.com.
Wellness911.
Yeah, and listen, again, thank you so much. The Wellness 911 is going to be every Wednesday with Damika Page on the backside of the show. I'm excited about knowing more about it. She's really legitimate. She's all about fitness and health and making people feel good. She just weighed herself the other day. And
not she just came feel on good, the radio and
told
good.
Us how much she weighed before the show.
Yeah.
And I thought she weighed more than that. But I guess I was wrong.
Damn.
Yeah. But, you know.
That's because you're a hater. Because I can get in my slacks from Victoria's Secret that I bought in college. I can still get in them. Mm. So vintage. That's always my measuring stick.
Hey, what's your name? You go to Murray State? Yeah, I like them black slacks. Where'd you get those?
You're a hater.
Where'd you get those black slacks?
Victoria's Secret.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Them the ones that come with the drawers inside them.
No, that was Hollywood.
What
was that?
Frederick's
in Hollywood.
They had pants with the drawers in them.
Yeah.
So if you can get the pants off, it's all good. That was the motto of the pants that was connected to the panties, the pet panties. Okay, that was the motto. If you can get these pants off, you already there.
Hey.